Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. Mondays on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years, and you can find out why that's the case for yourself by visiting them in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Randy'sFlooring.com. Randy's sponsoring the entire 3 hours of our Monday program. Welcome in. You are listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM. Also heard on 106.3 and 107.5 FM and online at kgymradio.com. Stick around with us. We've got a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids. We're going to hook somebody up with that tonight before we are off the air. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register with us in the 5 o'clock hour. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, set to join us at 4:30 for his weekly segment brought to you by Craig Adamson. And, of course, your texts and phone calls, 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line. I'll give that number to you one more time, 366-1600. I believe the pump was primed on the gym class earlier today. The texts and phone calls coming in hot and heavy, much like the lightning Saturday night in Ames. There will be no delays, though. We are starting this show at 4, and we are off at 7. No overtime. 366-1600. You just jump right back into it. I mean, this is the only thing worse than the week leading up to an Iowa-Iowa State football game tends to be the Monday afterwards.
Well, I'm at least glad we have a three-hour show to discuss everything that we saw in Ames on Saturday, because
it might take 3 hours to unpack all of it.
Exactly. There were just so many twists and turns, and there were no overarching themes. There was no rhyme or reason for anything that happened. And there was a point where I think a lot of people, including you, Todd, who were in the press box in Ames, were wondering if that game was going to get in, if we were going to see a football game.
Kirk Ferentz said afterwards that you have to worry about how many times do you start up and stop before player safety becomes an issue, with guys getting themselves ready to go and then stopping and then getting themselves ready to go and stopping. I don't think that it was all that close to ever being canceled. But when we're sitting there for the second lightning delay, which was much lengthier than the first one, the second delay was over 2 hours. I think it was a legitimate question to ask at that time, especially since both teams had a bye week that lined up in early November. And of course, you even talk about that and you get called an idiot. People saying, well, Iowa State's getting ready to play Oklahoma and Iowa would be playing Wisconsin or something like that. And it doesn't matter. You know, if they were going to reschedule it, they would reschedule it. Luckily, they were able to play the game, to get it finished. And I'm just glad that I didn't break an ankle on the walking back to the cow pasture that I was parked in, which was a grass lot that turned into a mud pit by the time I was ready to leave. Holy cow. Was that memorable or forgettable? That's our poll question today at kgymradio.com, because I think you could go either way on it. It's either an instant classic or it's instantly forgettable. Iowa wins the game. First time in the history of the Cy-Hawk series that the game was decided by a single point. Congratulations to all of you who had Iowa State plus 2.5, or even if you got Iowa State at plus 1.5. A lot of money was made on the Cyclones over the weekend. 319-366-1600, again, is the number to pick up the phone and give us a call. You want to weigh in on Iowa-Iowa State. You want to give us your thoughts on both of these teams right now. I'm not so certain that the better team won on Saturday, but that doesn't matter, because Iowa finished the game with the most points. And Iowa has not turned the ball over in this series in, what, 4 years now?
I think since 2015, yes. And Iowa State had their chances, and they just could not convert on turnovers. And that was the difference in the game, right?
you play to win the game, as Herm Edwards said. And by the way, Herm Edwards won a game against a Big Ten opponent in East Lansing over the weekend. It was not a good weekend for the Big Ten. We will touch on some of the other conference action later on in the program. NFL discussion coming up today as well, because there is major news, not one but two superstar quarterbacks out for extended periods of time, one for the entire season in Ben Roethlisberger. Thoughts and prayers to my fellow Juju Smith-Schuster fantasy football owners. Fantasy football coverage, by the way, on KGYM brought to you by Imon Communication this year. You can catch Chris Liss of rotowire.com and Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com on the Gym Class and this program, respectively, each Wednesday. Again, the number 319-366-1600. What'd you guys think of Saturday's game? I was there and I don't know what to make of it. It was bizarre. I think it's going to be one of those games that no one is ever going to forget just because of the circumstances surrounding it, to have not one but two delays, the students rushing onto the field during the second delay, which was, to me, lighthearted until you realized there's standing water on the field, and if they spent too much time down there turning it into a slip and slide, would they have affected the integrity of the field moving forward? And I will say the Iowa State security was able to clear the field relatively quickly and get the kids off of it. But really, the game was sort of secondary to everything surrounding it. We had College Game Day, which was a huge part of the buildup leading into the contest. And then you throw the two weather delays in on top of it. And oh, by the way, I thought you got a pretty good football game. It wasn't a great game, but I thought that was a good game against two relatively evenly matched teams. And I've seen the computer analytics. Iowa State fans are pointing to those today, saying that I think Iowa State had a 95% chance or something like that of winning the game, given what the box score looked like at the end of the game. And Iowa wound up somehow, because it played relatively mistake-free football and the Hawkeyes didn't turn the ball over, they were able to go on the road and win. And they won ugly. And I heard the call on the Gym Class earlier today. I wish I could remember the gentleman who called in talking about, when is Iowa going to start scoring big? You don't need to score big, dude. Just win games. Win ugly. 17-16 is a win. 35-16 is a win. They both count for the same.
Yeah, I think it's the question sort of becomes, is it sustainable against the upper-level teams that they're going to play on the road? We're going to find out, because I think they're going to be in a lot more of these one-score games. If you're an Iowa fan, you're happy to get out of there with a win any way that you can. And if you're an Iowa State fan, you're sitting here and saying, how do we lose this game? How in the world do we lose this game? And that's what 1 point and a play here, a play there, a missed opportunity here, a missed opportunity there. And there were plenty of those. We'll get to all of them if we can. That's how it decided the game on Saturday.
Actually, if you're an Iowa or Iowa State fan and you were parked in one of the grass parking lots, you were just happy to get out of there. Not with a win. You were happy to get out of there. I saw people that were getting stuck, big pickup trucks, heavy vehicles, because a lot of the grass lots, that was especially the second delay, that was a deluge. There was a lot of rain that came down. It turned those grass parking lots into a giant mud pit. And luckily, I think most people were able to finally exit those lots. But I wasn't sticking around to make sure, because conditions, as hundreds and hundreds of cars were leaving and leaving these giant ruts, they were getting worse, and I wanted to get out of there before I wound up being stuck there. I did fill up a couple growlers with tap water before I left Ames, so I had a fun time at the old ranch by the time I got home at about 12:30 in the morning. That, to me, was the real kick in the seat, was you think, okay, it's a 3 o'clock game. You get home, you're going to have your Saturday night, and then Mother Nature says, hold the phone. We're going to be here a while. And I have no qualms with that, no issues. Player safety is something that I think every sport needs to make every sport needs to worry about, especially now in 2019. But you know, Lightning is not something to screw around with when you've got 70,000-80,000 yahoos standing out in the open elements. And I know Jack Trice seats 61,500. I guarantee you there were about 80,000 people there in the vicinity of the stadium. There were a lot of folks there who did not have tickets. I got to town at about a little bit before 11 o'clock, and the general admission parking around the stadium had already been sold out at that point. I don't know where those people who came to town without parking and without tickets all eventually wound up, but many of them were stuck out in the parking lots during those delays. The first delay wasn't that bad because most people just stayed in the stands. The second one, everybody except with the exception of the Iowa State student section, decided to take cover. The students being the students, they hung out. They didn't want to give up their seats, which I completely understand. You've waited in line to get in the first couple rows there. You're going to hang on as long as you could. And luckily, the weather wasn't terribly severe, but I don't think I would have stood outside in the pouring rain like that. 319-366-1600. Oh, did everybody turn their radios off at 4 o'clock? I don't get it. I thought there would be just a complete inundation of the text line and the phone lines here wanting to talk. Maybe everybody's worried about which gas station is upsetting which fan base today. I don't know. I'm just glad that this thing didn't get pushed to November 2nd because I could not have withstood another month and a half of Iowa and Iowa State the back and forth. It just, everybody in the press box said the same thing on Saturday night too. It's like, is this, just get this thing over with so we can go about our lives. Iowa can go into its bye week. Iowa State can turn its attention to Louisiana Monroe. Nobody wanted that thing to be rescheduled.
No, I was just glad, yes, that they got the game in, and I thought both teams really handled the situation well. Iowa clearly knew that they were down four defensive backs, and Iowa State had the more explosive offense. And they wanted to play ball control offense, and they did that. They held, Iowa State's offense to 9 possessions. That is unbelievable, in my opinion, to hold an offense like that, to keep your offense on the field, convert on third down, and keep an explosive offense on the sideline for the majority of the game. And it turned out to win them the game. And Iowa State had such a premium on every single possession that they were out there. And at times they were shredding the Hawkeye secondary. There is no doubt about that. But that was between the 20s. And Iowa played very opportunistic. Every time Iowa State made a mistake, Iowa capitalized on it. And every time Iowa made a mistake, Iowa State was unable to capitalize on that. And that was the main difference in the game.
Brock Purdy was out there playing pitch and catch for a lot of the game. I know this has been pointed out by other people, but Iowa played 13 players on the defensive side of the ball Saturday.
Unbelievable.
The Hawkeyes were so thin, especially in the defensive secondary. And Iowa State took advantage of that to an extent, but you saw, I think, Saturday the shining example of Phil Parker and Norm Parker, the bend but don't break. You can let Brock Purdy throw the ball all around, and then all of a sudden the field gets a little shorter,
yep,
and it's difficult to move the ball. And that defensive mindset, I know it's not tremendously popular with a lot of fans because you don't like to see another team move the ball on you like that, but Iowa bent. It didn't break. It came within a point of breaking, and had the Hawkeye, look, I have a feeling if things were the other way around, we wouldn't even be able to get through the first 10 minutes without the phone lines being jammed today if Iowa State would have won the game and Iowa would have lost. 319-366-1600. Let's go to the phone lines, though. Charlie in Cedar Rapids wants to weigh in on Iowa-Iowa State. Charlie, what's up?
Well, I think I'm probably thinking the same thing you are. If that ball had not glanced off the back of that poor soul, we won't name his name, and had Iowa State got the ball back one more time with the time on the clock, I got to tell you, I believe at this point that Iowa State would have come back and won the game. They were moving the ball.
I completely agree with you, Charlie. I think it was shaping up to be a nail-biting finish, and then the miscue occurred, and Iowa was able to get out of there with a win.
We would have been talking about that play call on 3rd and 7.
We would have been talking about a lot of things.
A lot of things. Clock management, which reared its ugly head a little bit. Every coach has their Achilles heel.
You're talking about the end of the first half?
End of the first half,
they were
yes.
playing for the field goal there all along, though.
Yeah, but to call your first timeout with 20 seconds left, to go between a minute and one to 28 seconds when you're on the 25-yard line, there can be a little bit of an argument made that they played that one a little bit too conservatively. But, yeah, I was not thrilled with that 3rd and 7 call. A play action to the short side of the field, throwing it to a tight end who has 5 career passes, who is going towards the sideline. He turns upfield, and as soon as he turns upfield to make a play, he gets hit out of bounds. I thought that was sort of setting him up for failure at that point and asking for him to be hit out of bounds. He tried to stay in bounds, but by the time he had turned upfield to make a play, he was being hit out of bounds. That cost them 40 seconds on the clock. And if had that come back to bite them, that's what we would have been talking about for sure.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We do have a number of texts that we will get to as well, but let's head. I'm told just outside of Monticello, we've got Darren on the line with us. Darren, what's up?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, I think you saw an example of one coach that's been in a program for an eon and another coach that is just trying to find his legs. I think Campbell's going to be a great coach, but he was completely and totally outcoached in the details of the game. The details of that game was one, not only in like in the trenches, but just the little things. Like you just said, you coach your kids, don't hit him out of bounds. Let's go. You know, get it going. Move. You got to move. You slow your butts down, and I don't think Campbell quite grasped that because I really don't think he grasped an offensive system quite yet. So that's what I take on it. You guys can mull that over and see how much of an idiot I am.
Oh, no, Darren, I would never call anybody an idiot, especially when I'm the one with the open microphone in front of my mouth. Let's hear Matt Campbell's opening statement from his news conference on Saturday night. Matt Campbell talked before Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes were even in their post-game interview room. I could have been in both places at once. I was not. This audio comes to us courtesy of Iowa State. But here's Matt Campbell, the opening comments immediately after that game last night, and he does address some of the shortcomings.
The game, obviously, in a lot of ways, frustrating. And frustrating because it was our detail that really earned us what happened at the end of the football game and in the fact of a loss. And, I think some growth from certainly a lot of growth from week one to week two. But unfortunately, the growth and the detail and the discipline, which is on the head football coach, because that's my job. That's my responsibility. And obviously, I didn't do a good enough job to make sure that those things were shored up because it's really what caught us tonight. I'm really proud of our kids' effort. The way our kids played, even at the end, it's not, Speedy's trying to do a great job, trying to give us a chance to return it. Deshante gives that a little bit late, and it happens. It's not a fault. It's one of those things that's it's unfortunate. But from an attitude, effort, and investment standpoint, really proud of our kids. From a Coach Campbell standpoint, there's obviously got to be better. And, I'll own it, and we'll move forward from
it. Oh, he's owning it.
He is.
And good on him. There were a lot of things that I think you need to clean up. Iowa played a cleaner game and was rewarded for it in the end. Now, I will say this. In 2002, Iowa lost to Iowa State in agonizing fashion. It was not the same game, but Iowa was up 24-7 at the half. Hawkeyes lose 36-31 to Iowa State. And then won their next 9 games in a row and played in the Orange Bowl. So if you're an Iowa State fan out there that's just completely at the end of your wits on this one, You don't need to. Don't worry about it. It's a loss. It's not the end of the world. Take care of things with Louisiana Monroe this week, because that's a tricky team. But your focus needs to be on the Big 12 at this point, because that team, if it stays healthy and gets some things figured out, starts cutting down on the mistakes, that team can compete for a Big 12 championship. I came away extremely impressed by Brock Purdy Saturday night.
He was outstanding.
And covered in mud, but impressed by Brock Purdy as well.
He was great. I thought that I was really impressed.
Brand new shoes, Alex. Look at these.
Those are brand new?
Do they look brand new?
I didn't know that. Those were brand new.
Send Jamie Pollard the bill. 423, keep the texts and phone calls coming, 319-366-1600. 4246 on the text line is referencing a stat I believe was shared by Brent Bloom on Twitter. Teams that average at least 7.7 yards a play and allow only 4.3 yards per play, 498 wins and 2 losses in the last 10 years. Iowa State is one of the 2 losses. You know the other one.
Memphis against Navy last year. And I think both fan bases that lost that game had the same reaction. How did we lose that game? And they did. There were issues there. The thing with Matt Campbell there, I understand you can chalk this up to coaching and this and that and mistake-free football. That is all valid. But he can't go out there and catch the football if you're defense, if you're Iowa State's defense in those situations. He can't go out there with 4 minutes and 55 seconds when Nate Stanley throws a terrible pass, hanging up there for a safety to catch, and go catch the football for him. He can't go out there at the beginning of the second half when Nate Stanley throws another bad pass in the middle of the field and have Mike Rose, who had the ball right in his hands, he can't catch that ball for him. The fact of the matter is Iowa State did not convert on the potential momentum-changing defensive plays that they needed to, and Iowa did. That, to me, is one of the big differences in this game.
66-57, do you think wins like this help quiet the people who criticize Kirk Ferentz? People always tend to gravitate towards the shiny new object, Campbell, Frost, Fleck. I think people underappreciate KF. Look across the Big Ten on Saturday. Lovie Smith loses at home to Eastern Illinois. Chris Creighton has beaten a Big Ten team 3 years in a row now. You see,
Purdue last year.
I believe it was Rutgers the year before. And Illinois this year. Arizona State goes on the road into East Lansing and beats Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans. Kirk Ferentz had a pretty darn good Saturday compared to some of his counterparts across the Big Ten.
Yes, he did. It was a rough day for the Big Ten.
I would like to see Kirk Ferentz dress like Chris Creighton, though. He dresses, he looks like he is ready to change your oil in 30 minutes or less. I'll let you, I know you didn't watch the game because you were busy at Riverside on Saturday watching Iowa and Iowa State with everybody. I'll let you Google Chris Creighton and his...
He's got the mechanic shirt on.
I didn't want to call it that because somebody out there would take offense to it. To be offended by.
Mechanics wear.
Well, in this day and age, people get offended by everything. So you've got to be very careful. I have my entire one side of my family is all mechanics. And somebody out there would hear that and go, oh, I'm offended by that. I mean, for the most part today, if you've missed this epic showdown on Twitter today, there was a regional gas station that decided that it would be a good idea to make a tweet centered on Iowa beating Iowa State. And the fallout from it, no pun intended if you've seen the tweet, somebody falling down the steps, the fallout from it is just mind-numbing. The fact that actual functioning adults can be triggered by something as stupid as a tweet from a gas station. And, well, we'll never get gas there again. You will if you're on E and it's the only one around. We'll compromise our morals pretty quickly when we need to. Let's squeeze in 2 phone calls before we get to John Walters. Let's start with Jim in Iowa City. Keith, hang tight. We'll get to you. Jim, what's up?
Boys, how are you today?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, there's an old saying about a rivalry, and a rivalry is only as good as the competition. This is five in a row, so what's this make for the rivalry?
Well, Jim, I think that's a good question. Dan McCarney and Iowa State beat Iowa 5 years in a row from 1998 to 2002. The rivalry has been pretty even for the last 20 years. I think Iowa has a two-win advantage in the last 22 years off the top of my head. I don't have the statistics in front of me. This is, by the way, and I know Mike Loss said this on the gym class earlier today, this is not going anywhere. This rivalry, as long as Gary Barta and Kirk Ferentz are at Iowa, they're going to continue playing this game. So,
as well they should.
And I completely agree with you. The best thing for this game is what's going on right now. To have Iowa and Iowa State both playing very good football in their respective conferences. This is an ultra-competitive game. It's not 1983 to 1997 anymore. That's when you needed to worry about this thing going away. Although it sounds like Jim kind of would like the game to go away. And maybe that has more to do with the fact that Iowa State's competitive in these games than anything. Keith in Cedar Rapids. Keith, you're going to be our last call before we get to John Walters. What's up?
Okay, fair enough. So, Todd, couple big-time takeaways here. You know, what happened to Iowa State is what happened to Iowa last year versus Wisconsin. Those mental mistakes add up.
Yep.
If you can't clean those up, you know, you're going to lose those games. But, two, I really feel like Iowa State was really a game away from cleaning up all their mistakes. If they don't have that bye week, and if they go and play somebody else, we might be singing a different tune to all this. And then, third, my last takeaway is this team, this Iowa team, is going only as far as Nate Stanley can take them on the road. Like, it's frustrating to watch a third-year quarterback who should be experienced struggle so much on the road. His freshman year or his first year starting, it was at Wisconsin where he got completely rattled. And then, like, watching him versus Penn State last year was horrible. And then seeing him on the road at Iowa State, it's clear the struggles on the road is still there. So until he cleans that up, Iowa is going to be 8-4. So just some food for thought, guys. Thanks for the listen.
As always, Keith, we appreciate you chiming in. There were a couple throws, by the way, one in particular to, I believe it was Amir Smith-Marset, that were NFL caliber.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing about Nate Stanley. He made that throw to Amir Smith-Marset down the middle, and then one on the corner route to Brandon Smith that looked great. And then he made the throw over the middle to Nico Reganey that hung up in the air for about 20 minutes and absolutely should have been intercepted. And the one early in the second half, right in the hands of Mike Rose, where it's you're still sort of seeing the inconsistencies that everybody is bringing up. That's what makes him sort of, I think, frustrating to a segment of Iowa fans.
31-48 on the text line comparing Nate Stanley to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins lost that game yesterday for the Minnesota Vikings, but Kirk Cousins has also carved out a pretty nice career in the National Football
League
for
himself.
Yeah. And was pretty good when he was at Michigan State. So I think you would say that to Nate Stanley, he'd probably take it as a compliment. 4:30, we're running long. We've got to step aside. Kyle's going to get you a big board update. We've got a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse coming your way. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, will share how many hot dogs and popcorn he and Eric Heft consumed during, I lost track, Eric Heft likes his popcorn during the two delays in Ames. The only thing that would have made that better on Saturday is if there would have been beer in the press box, because we all like each other for the most part. Everybody who covers Iowa and Iowa State, we've been around each other for a long time, myself going on two decades, and it was an opportunity to sit around and catch up, and if there would have been a bar in that place, it would have been the best 2 hours and 55 minutes I think most of these sports writers there would have spent in quite some time. But it was fun. We tried to make the most of it, and John and Eric were able to get away from the broadcast booth a little bit too, as they had some rain delay theater in the can to play back, and I know Gary Dolphin and Ed Podolak did the same thing. John's coming up with us next. We'll take a quick timeout. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports. This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Lawn legends, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See johndeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit citytractor.com.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
So, you're a Cubs fan. Well, hold on to your helmet nachos, because Marquee Sports Network is coming with more Cubs than ever. In fact, more is a bit of an understatement. A huge home runs landing on Waveland-sized understatement. Because Marquee Sports Network will bring you pregame, postgame, game, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and on top of the scoreboard. A network as dedicated as you. Marquee Sports Network, the exclusive new television home of Cubs baseball. Coming February 2020.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. It's gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
4:35, welcome back in. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, coming up with us on the other side of this big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Here's Kyle.
It's always something when it comes to the Cy-Hawk Series, and our 2019 matchup from the past weekend will be remembered as the one with 2.5 hours of lightning delays, but also as an 18-17 victory for the Hawkeyes, courtesy of a Keith Duncan field goal with just under 5 minutes remaining, sealed by two Cyclones colliding on a punt return. The Cyclones outgained the Hawkeyes by over 100 yards, but Matt Campbell says it was a handful of self-inflicted errors that prevented them from winning. In fact, Brent Bloom found that teams that gained 7.7 yards per play, as the Cyclones did, and held their opponent to 4.3 yards or less had been 498-1 in the history of college football until the Cyclones became the second team to lose such a game on Saturday. Following the win, the Hawkeyes are ranked 18th this week. For his effort, Duncan was named the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. He was a perfect 4-for-4, including the game winner, and is now 8-for-8 on the season and 4-for-4 from beyond 40 yards. D.J. Johnson was also thrust into a critical role with the secondary dealing with injuries, and he responded in a big way and was named a co-freshman of the week. He had team highs with 8 tackles, 7 solo, and also had 2 breakups, including a big one late in the game. There's a little bit of bad news out of Cedar Falls, where Mark Farley explained today that All-American tight end Briley Moore may not return this season, and if he does, it won't be until late October. Former Hawkeye basketball player Ahmad Wagner is able to play for Kentucky this season, and he's proving he just might have made the right choice in switching sports. He had 3 catches for 70 yards and a SportsCenter top 10 touchdown against Florida this weekend, and that's just a continuation of what he's already shown this year. The 6'5", 234-pound receiver has been targeted 16 times, has 9 catches for 2 touchdowns, and has drawn 6 pass interferences. Tonight after the show, we'll have John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on the main gym and Browns Jets on Monday Night Football on the FMs.
How tall is he?
6'5".
But did
he shrunk 2 inches?
He shrunk
2 inches from the time that he played basketball.
Must be
at the
something
University
in the
of
water
Iowa.
In Kentucky.
I'm amazed by that. Maybe that's the is there more of a gravitational pull in Kentucky where you I don't know. My grandmother, she shrunk from the course of my lifetime. I remember just gradually thinking that she got smaller and smaller. Amazing that Ahmad Wagner is 6'5" now that he plays football. And plays football. That I'm telling you right now, Ahmad Wagner is going to play in the National Football League.
Yes, he will.
You could put him on this Iowa football team right now, and he'd be the best tight end. I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
He's playing some outside receiver. For the Kentucky Wildcats. They love... You cannot teach 6'5", 234 pounds with that kind of speed and that kind of leaping ability.
Ah, boy. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. It's just devolving into a mosh pit of Iowa State complaining about this and that from the game on Saturday, as you would expect. So I'll let you guys duke it out on the text line. And we'll get to John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. His appearance brought to us by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And, John, I was trying to calculate how much popcorn you and Eric were able to consume during the rain delays. I lost track. Your partner likes his popcorn from the looks of it.
Yeah, I think I had about probably 20 ounces of popcorn and one hot dog and... That was the first delay, and then the second one, I probably came back with a little bit of the regular pulled pork or whatever it was. It was up there, so yeah, we did a little eating during the breaks. I mean, you got to stay nourished. You know, you got to keep rolling. So,
we've been asking today whether that game is going to be remembered for a long time or quickly forgotten, given these circumstances and the play. Which direction would you lean on that?
Well, I mean, I didn't think it was a poorly played game. I think it was two good teams slugging it out. Obviously, the circumstances weren't ideal with the conditions, but you know, I thought it was two very good football teams. So, you know, in a close game, the only 1-point game in the history of the series, to me, that's a game that'll be remembered for quite a while. I don't think anybody's going to forget that one anytime soon.
When you look at the way that this game unfolded, with Iowa completely sort of trying to own the time of possession and limit Iowa State's possessions, and I think they held them to nine possessions in total. All in all, Iowa State's offense played really well, but some of the mistakes on both sides of the ball really cost them in this game.
Oh, no question. You know, I of those 9 possessions, I'd be curious. I'd have to look to see how many of them Iowa State got inside the 40-yard line of Iowa. I think probably about 5 or 6, you know. And once they were in there, and that's, I know that's not the red zone yet, you'd still like to be able to get some points out of those drives. And they really didn't, other than, you know, the one field goal. Other than that, it was the 2 big plays down the field. But they moved the ball very, very well. But those drives stalled out for one reason or another. Once it got across the 40, and it was right kind of in no man's land between where you can try a field goal, a long field goal, or where you kind of have to punt. And I know the one time they're getting ready to go for it, they had a false start, you know, and then you're punting and things like that. Those are just kind of things that, you know, that were really costly in that game for Iowa State. And, you know, when you're averaging almost 8 yards a play, you feel like your offense is doing some really good things. Probably ought to be able to put more points on the board, but it was, you know, credit Iowa's defense for doing what they do. They traditionally do bend but don't break, and that's exactly what they did, you know, in a lot of those occasions. So they made big plays to get off the field, and you know, I think both teams probably walked away from that game feeling like they could have done more offensively in terms of scoring.
John, Matt, I thought Matt was really hard on himself after that game Saturday night. Should he have been?
Well, he knows that a game against Iowa is going to be decided by little things, you know, details and how you do in those little areas, that he just takes so much pride in his team being the one to execute in those areas. And so, you know, when they failed on a few of those areas, he's going to take that personally. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that he does, you know, take responsibility for that. I hate it when a coach starts pinpointing players and naming names. And not that sometimes that happens. I get it that occasionally, you know, there's an obvious play that you are going to get asked about. But, you know, for the most part, I think Matt's going to absorb that himself. Steve Prohm's a lot the same way. You know, when the team plays well, he wants none of the credit. He's just deferring to the guys. And when they don't do as well, he pretty much steps up and takes responsibility for that. And so I appreciate that about both those guys.
You mentioned some of the details. One of the things that's been pointed out is the turnover differential now, and Iowa State's still looking to get that first turnover on defense. How much are they going to kind of be kicking themselves for letting some of those opportunities that Nate Stanley gave them get away from them in that game?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. You know, the ball was in the air a few times where they had an opportunity at it, and they couldn't quite secure it. You know, they're a team that was pretty good at forcing turnovers in the past under John Haycock. They've just struggled a little bit with it so far this year. And they've been in position to do it a few times. You know, even Jaquan Bailey's pass that he knocked down, you know, if that pass was thrown a little bit softer, he probably could have just grabbed it and picked it off, because he really knew exactly what was coming and jumped up in the air and made a real nice play, but couldn't quite corral it. But you think of Mike Rose with the interception in his hands, and he just couldn't quite get the grip on it. And then same with Daytron Young in the end zone late in the game. There were several opportunities there to go ahead and secure a turnover. But, you know, for one reason or another, it just didn't happen. There's a little bit of luck involved in turnovers. But, you know, I think traditionally, if you go back and you look through the years with Iowa State football, and even in the early part of Matt's tenure here, you know, if you don't win the turnover battle, you're going to have a hard time winning, or at least break even in the turnover battle. And in the first two games, Iowa State has lost the turnover battle and has yet to force an opponent to commit one. And so, and it's a really amazing stat that Iowa hasn't turned the ball over in the 4 years that Matt's been Iowa State's head coach. That's a remarkable stat. And, you know, credit to Iowa. They take care of the football. They don't get sloppy with it. And, you know, hats off to them for that. That's a really good way to approach trying to beat Iowa State, because if you do get sloppy with it and turn it over a bunch, they're probably going to make you pay for it.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, with us. You can hear him coming up later on tonight on 1600 AM on the Sideline Show. You got to pick yourself up off the mat if you're Matt Campbell on the Cyclones. Louisiana Monroe coming to Jack Trice Stadium this weekend. This is a team that almost beat Florida State in Tallahassee earlier this season. Certainly a pretty good challenge ahead for the team this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's shaping up that way. You know, I think when people looked at the schedule prior to the season, they probably didn't view it that way. But, you know, I watched their game with Grambling. They looked very, very sharp in that game. And then they came back and took Florida State to overtime. And the only reason they lost that game, or at least didn't continue in that game, is they missed an extra point after scoring what would have been the game-tying touchdown in the overtime. They got the touchdown and missed the extra point, and Florida State won. That's a tough way to lose. But I did watch that Grambling game. I studied up on them in the offseason. And, you know, they've got a veteran quarterback returning, Caleb Evans. He's a really talented guy with a lot of experience, and he's a dual threat. Josh Johnson is a very good running back who's big and thick, about 215, 220 pounds, and really ran the ball well against Grambling and came back with a really good game against Florida State as well. So he's a big threat. And then they have one of the most veteran offensive lines in the nation returning this season at the FBS level. They are a very, very veteran offensive line that's coming back. So, you know, they've got some really good things on that side of the football and some very good athletes on the defensive side. You know, obviously if Iowa State comes out and protects their home field and plays the way they're capable of, you feel like they'll have a decent chance of winning the football game. But I don't think it's a gimme by any stretch. And And so, you know, they're going to have to play well.
After watching that UNI game, I think a lot of people thought, okay, they're playing a little conservatively offensively. They're going to show some new wrinkles against Iowa. And the game that DeShante Jones had, I figured, okay, maybe Tariq Milton is next, and he did not disappoint. How impressive was he, and how big of a weapon can he be for this offense moving forward?
Yeah, he's going to have to be a big weapon for this offense moving forward, and I'm not surprised that he had a big game. He's a guy that's moved from that slot position to an outside wide receiver position this year. So they're going to be taking more deep shots to him. I think he's the one guy that can get behind the defense. You know, there's others, but I think he's really capable of that and probably the best deep threat. And when you talk about, you know, trying to replace the big play capability of Akeem Butler, I think the first name that came to mind in the offseason was Tariq Milton, and we saw little flashes of that certainly on Saturday.
John, who's coming up with you on the sideline show this evening?
We're going to have Matt Campbell along, John Glenn from our Cyclone Radio Network team that helps out with our pregame show is going to be on co-hosting, former Cyclone quarterback. And we're going to have Matt Campbell on in the first segment of the show, and then Jamie Pollard will be along. And we'll talk about with him about game day and all the excitement that's around that. So should be a good show tonight.
All right, John, appreciate it. And we will touch base with you next week, hopefully after a win over Louisiana Monroe.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
John Walters, the play-by-play voice of Iowa State, who joins us every Monday, win or lose, courtesy of Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. Yeah, I'm not used to seeing John in the press box for as much of the game on Saturday as I was able to, but he and Eric were able to spend some time away from the broadcast booth with the rest of the writers and media that were assembled there, and just one of the bizarre parts of the day all around, and one that I don't think many people are going to forget anytime soon. But that was, as John put it, that was two good football teams.
Yeah.
Playing a good football game, and Iowa didn't make many mistakes. And it's hard to beat a good football team when the good football team you're playing doesn't make many mistakes. And he pointed it out. Iowa State had several opportunities for takeaways, couldn't capitalize.
Couldn't do it.
And the final play of the game, before the kneel downs, of course, the final play of the game, the punt return, that basically encapsulates why one team won and the other team didn't.
The stat that I threw out about possessions, Iowa State had 9, and John asked, I wonder how many times, I'd have to go back and look, how many times of those 9 possessions they got inside the Iowa 40-yard line? 6 times. And they couldn't capitalize.
Couldn't do anything. The epitome of bend but don't break. 319-366-1600. We will take a quick timeout, but before we do, we send you to kgymradio.com, where we ask you to vote in our poll question today, being brought to you, as always, by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. How would you describe last Saturday's game? Is it an instant classic or instantly forgettable? Emil's Hideaway bringing you today's poll question. Keep the votes coming. And this does not have to be Iowa State saying forgettable and Iowa saying instant classic. I thought it was a good football game.
I did too.
I could have done without the almost 3 hours of delays, but both teams played under the same circumstances. It's not an excuse for one side or the other.
No.
The momentum, save it. Both teams played under the same circumstances, and Iowa was able to be just that much better. I'm holding my index finger and my thumb about a millimeter apart. That was the difference between a win and a loss. And it changes a lot of things, I think, for Iowa as far as how you look at the, as you look at the season. I think a lot of folks, especially in the media, they had that game as a loss in the win-loss column for Iowa. I know I certainly did at the beginning of the season. There are still plenty more tough road games ahead of the Hawkeyes, including one coming up in 2.5-3 weeks in Ann Arbor against Michigan, which, by the way, opened as a 3-point favorite this week against Wisconsin, and now Michigan is a 3.5-point underdog because everybody and their brother is betting on the Badgers, and I can't blame them at this point. I'm not really impressed with Jim Harbaugh and Michigan, but there weren't a ton of impressive Big Ten teams this past weekend. We will leave it at that. Neither one of those two teams played, but they will play coming up this weekend. I believe that game is that in Madison at Camp Randall?
I will find out here in just a second. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is on the road for Michigan.
Well, we've got that to look forward to, and nothing from Iowa's standpoint. We will hear from Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz on Wednesday of this week. The coordinators made available to everybody, not just the Des Moines Register this week. So we're looking forward to being able to hear from Brian and Phil. 319-366-1600. Speaking of the Register, Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register coming up with us at 5 o'clock today. We need to take a quick timeout. More Cyhawk discussion. The autopsy continues after this.
The word taxes probably makes you cringe. Hi, I'm Craig Adamson. Creating a tax avoidance strategy now gives you the best opportunity to beat Uncle Sam at his own game. Let's sit down and chat before December 31st so you can be the winner on tax day. Contact me at TrueWealthStewardship.com to get started.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning offered through TrueWealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos, and this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream, and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Sport Clips Haircuts and NASCAR's number 20 driver, Eric Jones. Want to see you at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race in Texas, Sunday, November 3rd. Enter now for your chance to win the ultimate NASCAR race fan experience at sportclips.com/Texas. Meet Eric Jones and win pit passes, hospitality tickets, and more. For the best NASCAR has to offer, enter now at sportclips.com/Texas. No purchase necessary. U.S. only. Age 18 or older. Ends October 4th, 2019. Void where prohibited.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
Now that I've hung up the cleats, I like to wear a more comfortable shoe. In fact, I like to wear the most comfortable shoe, Skechers Slip-Ons. Skechers Slip-Ons are simply the best. For one thing, there's no laces, so they just slip right on. Then there's the Skechers Air-Cooled Memory Foam. It cradles your feet and provides unbelievable comfort that lasts all day long. Skechers Slip-Ons are the most comfortable, easy-to-wear shoes I've ever worn.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with Air-Cooled Memory Foam today. Skechers, comfort included.
Protect your engine with 5 quarts of Castrol Edge full synthetic motor oil and a Wix filter for just $33.99. Plus, get a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate. You can also earn bonus O-Rewards points on Castrol Edge motor oil products right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. Also heard on 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and online at kgymradio.com. Monday is brought to you by Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Local flooring experts by design. You can check them out online at randysflooring.com or visit them in Cedar Rapids or Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Plenty more Cyhawk talk to come. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register set to join us inside the 5 o'clock hour. We will hear from Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz as well. Matt Campbell, apparently today on the Big 12 news teleconference, said that Louisiana Monroe is the most athletic team that the Cyclones have faced yet this season from looking at them on film. Iowa fans are naturally taking this as an insult to Iowa as opposed to the commentary that it actually is. And look, if you haven't watched Louisiana Monroe, they played Florida State to a 45-44 game in Tallahassee. Okay? Yeah, you got to be pretty athletic in order to do that.
Yeah, they're pretty decent. It's going to be a tough game, but I expect Iowa State to bounce
and
back.
Iowa fans and Iowa State fans alike are crying about a tweet from a gas station, and now you have the mystery statement put out by Gary Barta about an hour and 15 minutes ago about something to do with how the Iowa band was mistreated while it was in Ames. I don't know. I've reached out to a couple people. Those of us who were at the game in the press box were unaware of anything involving the band. This isn't like several years ago when somebody had stuff stolen out of the locker room. I don't know what this is about. I know there's some people that have sent some interesting texts, and I've seen a couple things on Twitter, but I searched earlier today. There was nothing out there. Why put this statement out there? I don't get it. But now you've created a little bit of a dust up between these two fan bases who can't stop chirping at one another, despite the fact that the game is now 2 days old. Can you imagine if they would have suspended that thing and rescheduled it to be played November 2nd? I don't know whether I would have been able to make it to November 2nd. Quite frankly, I wonder every day whether I'm going to be able to make it to November 2nd or not, and it has nothing to do with the Cyhawk game, but here I sit. 319-366-1600. Chad Lystico, the Des Moines Register, joining us next. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
BN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, the season is over for Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, while Saints QB Drew Brees will likely be sidelined several weeks. Roethlisberger will have season-ending elbow surgery this week. Pittsburgh moving on with backup Mason Rudolph taking over. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting Brees expected to soon undergo thumb surgery and be out about 6 weeks. Saints certainly will miss Brees, but should still win the division with backup Teddy Bridgewater starting, says Monday Night Football analyst Booger McFarland.
If he can just kind of keep the ship afloat, he doesn't have to win every game, but, you know, 2-4, 3-3, he's going to be out 6 weeks. When Drew Brees comes back, because of the division they play in the NFC South, I think when you put all that together, the Saints, although they're going to lose some games, I think they will be fine in the end, assuming that Drew Brees comes back healthy.
Booger McFarland on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Cowboys receiver. He'll have arthroscopic knee surgery tomorrow that could force him to miss 2 to 4 weeks. Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo has a lateral ankle sprain. Timeline for his return will be determined in about a week.
Coming up Tuesday, we'll recap Monday night's Browns-Jets matchup. Speaking of New York, is it Daniel Jones time for the G-Men? Another chance for you to see USC play the Irish in South Bend with the entire Golic squad. Golic and Wingo Tuesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final Boy Wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence, like our free battery testing. If you're having trouble starting your car, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. We'll test your battery for free and help you figure out the real issue, so you don't spend money on stuff you don't need. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com.
Restrictions and details in store. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, car care track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
5:03, welcome back in. A Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn means we are brought to you by Randy's Flooring. You can check them out online at randysflooring.com and find out how select purchases directly benefit the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. I don't know if you saw this story over the weekend. There was a young man, I think he was 24.
I did see this story.
He had a sign on College Game Day that said he was running low on Busch Light. He gave his Venmo address. He was hoping that he would make a couple bucks off it so that he could actually go buy more beer. He's gotten thousands of dollars Venmo'd to him, and he's now donating it, all of it, to the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. Pretty cool story there. As a matter of fact, I think I read it in the Des Moines Register, which leads me to our next guest, Chad Lystico. You can read his work at hawkcentral.com or in the Des Moines Register. People still do read physical newspapers. I know. I'm one of them. Chad, have you recovered from Saturday night? What time did you and Mark wind up leaving the Jack Trice Stadium press box?
We left at 1:30. We were the last two there other than Iowa State officials. So they were very kind to leave it open that late. And so, but for me, it's a shorter commute than usual. So I got back to my house about 2:30. Fell asleep at 4:30, back up at 7:30. So it was a long day for everyone. No complaints, though. I know it was a long day for the fans out there, too.
Chad, I know you go back and watch the games and rewind the DVR, so I'll ask you this question. You see the box score, you see the differential in yards per play, and the question is, how in the world did Iowa win that game?
Yeah, lots of reasons. Let's start with the yards per play on defense. When Iowa State was in Iowa territory, pretty amazing difference. Iowa State ran 22 plays in Iowa territory, gained 63 yards, and then had 15 more yards of penalties. So really, Iowa, I did it, you know, obviously had those two giant plays go against them, but you know, they bowed up when they needed to, and didn't allow Iowa State to get inside that 30. And then another point would be the red zone, or I'm sorry, the punt yardage. I know punting is winning for Iowa football typically, so might as well go there, right? A lot of net punting yards went in Iowa's favor. And then, of course, you look at Iowa converting every time they got in Iowa State territory, five times. Got points every time. So it's kind of a Kirk Ferentz style win, special teams, defense. 60 minutes, and you win by 1 point. First time ever this game has been decided by 1 point. Kind of interesting.
Nate Stanley has never lost to Iowa State, yet we still have people texting and calling into the show questioning his performance. What did you think of how he played on Saturday, and just general concerns that some of the fans have with Stanley's performance overall? Are they unfounded?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was fantastic. That was a really, really good Iowa State defense, and he's charged with a lot of stuff in that Iowa offense. He has to make a lot of calls and decisions at the line of scrimmage and find open guys. On that note, I talked to him after the game. I was the last one to talk to him finally. And they were trying to get him, you know, back out of the interview room, and just wrapped up a few questions with him. And I was asking him about, you know, what he was doing during that lightning delay. And, he was talking about how he, knew he missed some throws early in the game, and he was really determined not to dwell on them and replay them in his head for 3 hours. And he said he did a really good job of that. And maybe he wouldn't have done that in the past. His numbers, before and after the second rain delay, were considerably different. I want to say he was 6 of 13 before, and then see what did he end up? 22 of 35, so 16 of 22 after, so 6 of 13, 16 of 22. So that kind of gives you an idea that he came out of there with a sharper focus. And I thought the way he used his legs too was outstanding. That called draw on what was it, 3rd and 11, that set up the only touchdown. That was all him. That was something he called at the line, and they knew that nobody was guarding him, and so they sent all the receivers deep, and he ran 14 yards for a first down. So, I mean, I thought that was outstanding too. And when I rewatched even a couple of his overthrows early, I mean, the guys were covered, and I think he intentionally overthrew him. He still hasn't thrown an interception this year, so he knows when to throw the ball away and you know when to tuck it and run now. So he's been outstanding, I think, through 3 games.
I think one of the obvious statistics that was in favor of Iowa in this game was time of possession. And I've pointed out several times, Iowa State only had 9 possessions in the game, which is amazing. Do you think Kirk Ferentz and his staff full well knew that they were going to have to grind a game out like this, especially with how decimated the secondary was coming into this game against a really explosive Iowa State offense?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I do think that's part of their formula every time if they can. But I think another point there would be they were kind of thin on the defensive line too with Brady Reef out.
Right.
They were down to Davion Nixon, Cedric Lanamore, and they were throwing Austin Schulte in there on the defensive tackle front. And you know, they didn't want, and Iowa State was running tempo, so they needed to get on and off the field as quickly as possible. AJ Epenesa played every single snap of defense. Obviously, he can't do that the whole year. Unless, of course, Iowa allows opponents to run 50 plays a game, which is basically, through 3 games, what opponents are averaging so far against the Hawkeyes. Only 155 plays in 3 games for Iowa's opponents, and it's considerably, I can't remember what the number is for Iowa, but they're averaging 36-11 a game in time of possession, which is 6th in the country. So you can see they've kind of got that formula going right now, ball control, bend, don't break, and of course special teams, and that really is probably the biggest difference in the game on Saturday, special teams.
Chad Leistico with us from the Des Moines Register, reflecting back on Saturday's narrow victory. First time, Chad referenced it, by the way, the first time in the series that the game has ever been decided by just 1 point. Fans, and I know you touched on AJ Epenesa there in your response to Alex, but we've got a lot of fans that are also, I guess, picking at AJ Epenesa's performance as well. Did we come into the season with unrealistic expectations for AJ Epenesa? This is still a very good football player, a guy who's going to have a lengthy NFL career, and yet he seems to be falling into the same boat with Nathan Stanley, where he can't please everybody.
Yeah, actually, when I rewatched the game, I was interested to see how AJ played because he didn't really show up that much in live action. And when I rewatched it, I was extremely impressed with how well he played and how much of a factor he was. He was taking on 2 blocks at a time again, constantly. And Iowa State did a really smart thing, and they would you know, go away from him, or they would go at him and get him to suck in on Purdy and then throw wide or something like that. So they were really smart with how they went against him. And then as the game wore on, though, you wouldn't think he would get better as the game goes on when you play every snap, but he actually did. He actually began to get a lot of pressure in the 3rd and 4th quarter, enough where Brock Purdy was hurrying his throws, and you could tell he was hurrying him too because he started 16 of 17, and I think he went 8 of 17 the rest of the way with a lot of those being kind of rushed passes forced by blitzes that Parker was sending, and that kind of freed up AJ too. So I actually thought he played pretty well. He wasn't happy, obviously, after the game with how the defense played, but they also were proud of the way they fought. So I think expectations, yeah, I think everyone, you know, thinking he's going to get 18 sacks or something like that, not realistic. And I will point out Adrian Claiborne, his senior year, had 3.5 sacks, and he was a first-round draft pick. So the guys that are scouts, they know what's going on, and they know he's one of the most dominant players in college football.
Chad, are we going to continue to see more and more of Tyler Goodson? He looked dynamic on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. I don't see how you can't. On the broadcast, when I rewatched that, I mean, the announcer was marveling at the speed that he has and just the difference-making speed that he brings. And I think it's just been invaluable to get him so much experience in his first three games. I imagine we'll look back on this thinking that, wow, that was really smart that Kirk Ferentz got him into the fold that early. You know, maybe old Kirk would have, you know, kept him on the bench a while, you know, not let him get his crack. But even in that Miami game in the opener, he was in there during pressure snaps. So, and he was in real pressure situation in Ames. So that, I'm sure that was quite an experience for him. And they want to retool whatever they need to during this bye week. And so it will be interesting to see, you know, how much Goodson is part of the plans going forward. I imagine he's going to be a heavy part of the plans. I don't think Torrin Young played after the second quarter, so that might tell you a little something too.
Chad, you referenced the bye week. What other than getting healthy is on the docket for the Hawkeyes this week with no game to prepare for? What are some of the things you think they'll be addressing behind closed doors?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Getting healthy is certainly the biggest thing, no question about it. But, you know, the linebacker play has been just sort of so-so. I'd be interested to see, you know, if they give Dylan Doyle, Seth Benson, you know, any harder looks at all, because I know that those guys have been really, really good behind the scenes, sitting behind some veterans right now. So it'd be interesting to see if anything moves there. I think, but just getting healthy, maybe, you know, tinkering a little bit more with that cash concept. They haven't really used it at all yet. If they can get Julius Brents healthy, if they can get Matt Hankins healthy, you know, that might give them some more flexibility there to maybe try that cash again. I imagine DJ Johnson has a lot more confidence now, after playing this entire game. So if they get Hankins back, maybe they play a little more cash. And once again, you know, getting a young guy experience in the heat of the moment here, especially in a win, that has to pay off long term.
When you look at sort of the way that the defense played in between the 20s against the pass, do you chalk that up to more of decimated by injuries, or is there maybe a little bit of concern when they go against maybe some of the more speedy and dynamic offenses in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think there's concern there. I mean, they kind of patched it together, like I said, with, you know, red zone or own territory defense, special teams, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of open space in that zone coverage, and that's why I referenced the linebackers earlier. And certainly the safeties didn't, you know, had up and down moments as well. I mean, the game probably isn't won without Geno Stone and Jack Corner teaming up on that one turnover. I thought Kerner, I always say Corner, but it's Jack Kerner. I thought he was actually really good in the back end, getting better. But I just think they do need to get healthy, though. They got to get Hankins back out there. If they can get Hankins and DJ Johnson back out there, it gives them a little more speed. I would think Kayvon Merriweather, if he can get healthy, you know, he's got a lot of speed at free safety. Obviously young, but I would think they'd want to get him some more reps back there, too. So I do think that they, you know, they'll figure it out, but it really has been just a patchwork job back there. I mean, Kerner has never played before. I mean, DJ Johnson really has never played before. And those guys were playing every snap the other night. Iowa didn't even sub once in the back seven in that game. So those guys went the distance, and I'm sure they'll get better for it.
We haven't really talked about Keith Duncan's performance at all on Saturday. This is a guy who went MIA the last couple years, was beat out by Miguel Racinos for the job, could have left and kicked elsewhere. Instead, he sticks it out and he gets his moment in the sun, even though there wasn't really a whole lot of sun by the time he was performing his heroics on Saturday. Put into perspective his performance.
Yeah, I would say Keith has always kind of had a soft spot in my heart as a reporter because one of those days out at Wakanda when some of the players were up here, it was the year he was redshirting. He was in a golf cart by himself and he saw me, waiting for an interview maybe at the ninth hole and told me to jump in and I rode with him for a while and I was talking to him about what it was like, redshirting and being on the bench again and not having a scholarship and could he afford it. You know, he's from North Carolina. It's very expensive, obviously, to walk on out of state. And, he just said, yeah, I'd love to have a scholarship. I'm really working hard, but I'm just so happy here. I just love the people. I just can't imagine leaving the campus, even for another program. And I just thought that was a really neat answer at the time. And I think that was two summers ago. That's been a while. So he really stuck through it. And obviously, what a clutch gene he's got right now. I mean, think about that Michigan game 3 years ago. Now he kind of hits a pseudo game winner at Ames and in tough conditions. So I'm just really impressed with him. And what was neat in his interview after the game too is he was effusive in his praise for his holder Colton Rastetter, who you've got to give a lot of credit in the rain, too. There's another guy that stuck with it, a walk-on. Has had his rough moments as a punter, but, they call him the best holder in the nation. And who's going to dispute that? I have no idea, but that's what they say about him. So, and he also complimented Caleb Shudak for his kickoff. So they've got kind of a neat room over there and a neat group of guys. And it's cool to see him have success after kind of sitting in the shadows for a while.
Chad, as you know, covering this team for a while, one of the biggest criticisms against Kirk Ferentz is sometimes the clock management. What did you make of the way they handled the end of that first half?
Yeah, that was not ideal. I know that what they were trying to do, and I know they've kind of got that NFL mentality in a way that, 21 seconds is an eternity. But I think the big thing, if you guys remember how it went down, they just need to snap the ball sooner on that third down play where he completed it to Reganey, because by the time he was tackled, those timeouts didn't mean a lot, especially when you're going to throw 1 yard patterns. I mean, I would have, if you got down to that point, then I would be throwing into the end zone, taking shots for a touchdown, not running 1 yard passes. I think really that's three halves of football in the last four. If you think about the end of the Rutgers first half too, where they just got a little too cute in all three occasions, because at the end of the second half, obviously against Iowa State, that was not handled appropriately either. Nate Weeding's just got to fall to the ground or else spin towards the field of play instead of out of bounds. So stuff they'll learn from, and they got away with it this week, but that was not good.
Chad, what was your favorite anecdote Saturday night? The fact that Iowa sent out for sandwiches during the second lightning delay, or that Michael Ojemudia managed to sneak in a 45-minute nap?
Yeah, good. Yeah, you read my story. That was amazing. I think the nap, just because I can't hardly get to sleep, in my house on a comfortable bed, not to mention, in the middle of a college football game that you live your life playing for, with all that adrenaline. So yeah, and he said he wasn't the only one. He said there was lots of guys sleeping during that break. And what's funny about it, I mean, not funny, but he said he felt really refreshed. And Iowa definitely was playing with a lot of energy at the end of that game. So it must have helped a little bit. I imagine it probably did. So long day, it would help to have a nap. Makes sense. But I just don't know how you fall asleep. That's amazing to me.
Chad, we certainly appreciate you joining us. I want to give you a second, though, because people may not be aware of this, but recently, pretty much all of the work that you and Mark Emmert and Dargan Southard and you guys do at the Des Moines Register, it's all strictly behind a paywall right now, and I want to give you a second to let everybody know or make your case for subscribing and paying for what it is that you guys do.
Yeah, sure. Appreciate that. It's actually been going really well. You just log into, if you go to a story and you run out of free stories, you're going to get a notification that offers you, I think, 99 cents for the first month, and then it's $4.99 a month after that. You can also do an annual option, which is $49 for the whole year. That's $4 a month. So considering, I would say our story inventory on the Hawkeyes is roughly 30 stories a week. That's pretty good value, I think. So we got a really good wrestling writer, really good, Mark Emmert's amazing. I chip in a few things here and there, and, we try to cover everything Hawkeyes, not just, not just the football games, and we go on the road everywhere. So, I don't know. I think we're the best out there, but I love all the other guys in the Iowa media too, and I think there's room for all of us out there.
Well, we certainly shared the love on Saturday together. It was a big kumbaya moment in the press box with almost 3 hours to kill. A lot of hot dogs.
Meteorology central.
A lot of hot dogs and popcorn were consumed, and a lot of amateur meteorologists showing off their knowledge of reading radar. Hey, Chad, we appreciate it, and I'll see you Wednesday in Iowa City for Phil and Brian.
Yeah, and LeVar, don't forget special.
And that's right. We got three coordinators now to talk to. Chad Lystico, the Des Moines Register. Again, you can read and subscribe at hawkcentral.com. Get off A.J. Epenesa's back.
He was really good.
Get off Nate Stanley's back and enjoy the fact that your team is 3-0. That's the message.
Brock Purdy is really good at sensing pressure and getting rid of the ball in time.
I can't tell you.
I cannot tell
you how impressed I was with Brock Purdy.
He's great. There were times, and you do have to give Iowa State's offensive line a little bit of credit, but they were chipping on AJ, they were doubling him. There was just a lot of attention paid to him, and when he got one-on-one matchups, I think I counted 9 quarterback pressures where he's right there ready to make a play, unevaded, and the ball comes out.
He makes an excellent point about Adrian Claiborne's statistics his senior year, and yet he was able to be scouted and identified as a high draft pick for the National Football League and is still playing. Look, I guess it doesn't take a doctorate to read a box score, and if you want to get caught up in the numbers, then so be it. But you've got to look at how a guy performs, and sometimes that stuff doesn't make its way into a box score. And other teams, other offensive coordinators, other offensive line coaches, they know who AJ Epenesa is. They're going to come in with a game plan for him. And as you said, and we watched the one play in particular, I think what Iowa State was on, its own 2 or 3 yard
yes.
line, and Purdy's in the end zone. Epenesa's coming off the edge, and he's able to get rid of the ball just in the nick of time. You said it best. He has sort of a sixth sense when that rush is there and when there's a presence and get rid of the ball. And either as a quarterback, you either have that or you don't have it. And Brock Purdy has it.
See, there was a play early in the game, and I'm sure you'll remember this, Todd, but I think it might have been the second or third play of the game offensively for Iowa State. They were their offensive line was stepping to the right, sliding the protection to the right, and Iowa's defensive line was slanting back to the left, and there were 3 Iowa defenders in the backfield. And my friend looked at me, who played offensive line at the D2 level. He goes, "Was that play designed for nobody on the offensive line to block? There were 3 guys in Brock Purdy's face, and somehow he got the ball out." And hit LaMichael Petway for an 8-yard gain. So there is no secret what makes that offense go. And Iowa State has the best quarterback that they've had as long as I can remember. That kid is really good.
How would you like to take home a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids? I'm going to give you that chance right now if you pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. Kyle is waiting to hear from you right now. Caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. A $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue is yours. Great place to get together, watch college football on Saturdays, NFL football on Sundays. Maybe you can just grab a bite to eat after work or a drink with friends. The Fieldhouse on First Avenue. $30 is yours. Caller number 6-319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is and hear from Kyle. He'll have a big board update for you when we return after this.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
Toyota of Iowa City had exactly what I was looking for on their lot.
Well, they made the whole buying process easy and surprisingly fast.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly. So there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Workhorses run with us on a John Deere Gator and power through any job, anytime. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer today to save big on select utility vehicles like the Gator XUV 835M, now available for $500 off, or get $300 off the Gator XUV 590E. So what are you waiting for? Hurry into your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Right now at Menards, get huge savings throughout the store during the Fall Catalog Sale. Update the look of your home's curb appeal with Novik Stacked Stone Polymer Siding Panels. They replicate the natural and hand-laid look of stacked stone masonry at a fraction of the cost. They have twice the thickness of vinyl siding and come in a variety of colors, $374 a square foot. Now, during Menards' Fall Catalog Sale. Sale prices are good through Saturday, September 21st.
Save big money at Menards.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I was very comfortable with the straightforward way they presented the numbers.
I'm impressed how long the staff has been there. They truly are my advocates.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
5:30, we welcome you back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM as well. 1600 AM listeners, you're going to get John Walters from the Applebee's in Ames tonight at 7 o'clock, the Cyclone Sideline Show with Matt Campbell. 107.5 and 106.3 FM listeners, Monday Night Football. The matchup, the first ever Monday Night Football game, the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. This is Baker Mayfield's Monday Night Football debut, first time that he's ever been on the big stage of Monday Night Football. The Jets, of course, are a walking MASH unit at this point. The it seems it would be easy to bet on Cleveland here, that's why I'm thinking that the Jets are the play tonight because it looks too easy.
Yeah, no Sam Darnold, no Quincy Enunwa. Is Le'Veon Bell gonna play? Have we heard about him? I know that there was some discussion as to him maybe returning this week. At least that's what he tweeted. But I was looking forward to seeing Sam Darnold.
I haven't seen anything definitive on his status. New York is getting a touchdown at home tonight, according to our friends at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. The total on the game, 45 points. I would lean toward the Jets plus 7 and maybe the under. I just
not a big believer in the Browns, huh?
It's not that. It's just that I think everybody thinks, oh, that's easy money. And when you think something is easy money, it's usually not. So sometimes you got to go counterintuitive. You can laugh at me tomorrow when Cleveland wins, 31-17 or whatever the final score is going to be tonight, but we'll see. That's why they play the game. Congratulations to Mark in Iowa City. He's the winner of our $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We'll have another one of those gift cards for you coming up on a Tuesday edition of the program. Kyle's rejoined us in the studio. Our producer, Kyle Mann, brings you a big board update three times a day on the program, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out on 420th Street in Iowa City. They also have an interior design showroom, Answers by Alexander, on South Gilbert Street.
It's always something when it comes to the Cy-Hawk series, and our 2019 matchup from the past weekend will be remembered as the one with 2.5 hours of lightning delays, but also as an 18-17 victory courtesy of a Keith Duncan field goal with just under 5 minutes remaining, sealed by two Cyclones colliding on a punt return. The Cyclones outgained the Hawkeyes by over 100 yards, but Matt Campbell says it was a handful of self-inflicted errors that prevented them from winning. In fact, Brent Bloom found that teams that gained 7.7 yards per play, as the Cyclones did, and held their opponent to 4.3 yards per play, as the Cyclones did, teams like that had been 498 and 1 in the history of college football until the Cyclones became the second team to lose such a game on Saturday. Following the win, the Hawkeyes are ranked 18th this week. For his effort, Duncan was named the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. He was a perfect 4-for-4, including the game winner, and is now 8-for-8 this season and 4-for-4 from beyond 40 yards. DJ Johnson was also thrust into a critical role with the secondary dealing with injuries, and he responded in a big way and was named a co-freshman of the week. He had team highs with 8 tackles, 7 of them solo, and also had 2 breakups, including a big one late in the game. There is a little bit of bad news out of Cedar Falls today, where Mark Farley explained today that All-American tight end Briley Moore may not return this season, and if he does, it's not going to be until late October. Former Hawkeye basketball player Ahmad Wagner is able to play for Kentucky this season, and he's proving that he just might have made the right choice in switching sports. He had 3 catches for 70 yards and a SportsCenter top 10 touchdown against Florida this weekend, and that's just a continuation of what he's already shown. The 6'5", 234-pound, actually listed as a receiver, he's been targeted 16 times, has 9 catches for 2 touchdowns, and has drawn 6 pass interferences. Tonight after the show, we'll have John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on the main gym and Browns Jets on Monday Night Football on the FMs.
319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that to reach out to us, or you can come see us this Thursday. We're going to be back at Mulligan's on Old Marion Road for another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Great prizes for you. Buddy Lee is going to be there getting folks registered for some Cedar Rapids Rough Riders tickets. Hard to believe, but hockey season is right around the corner. And speaking of, I'm sure you saw the photo earlier today. The Stanley Cup has been engraved with the names of the 2019 Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues, forever immortalized on Lord Stanley's Cup. 366-1600, again, the number to reach us here. We can switch gears here, I think, safely for a little bit and turn our attention to the NFL, because it was a big week of Week 2 games. You had Green Bay getting out to a 21-0 lead yesterday over the Vikings and then hanging on to win 21-16 based solely on the grace of God and Kirk Cousins' questionable decision-making.
Oh, is he bad?
He lost that game for the Vikings.
100%.
There's no other way that I can describe what I witnessed. I had a great day on the couch yesterday. I was at home all by myself. I was just immersed in football and the Sunday ticket, and I was able to watch Green Bay and Minnesota, and then I put my Casey Kreider jersey on and watched the Bears and the Broncos. I know Scott Van Pelt has a segment devoted to bad beats, but I feel tremendously for anybody yesterday who had bet the Broncos on the money line to win $130 on a $100 wager. I guess you would say $1.30 favorite on the money, underdog on the money line would be the parlance. That's making a wager, for those of you unfamiliar, it's making a wager without any points involved. You're just betting on who's going to win and lose the game. That looked like a loser the entire game until the final, well, Denver's final play of the game, which wound up being a, look, you can't make this up. Denver scores. It looks like they're going to tie the game. They instead opt to go for two. There's a penalty on the two-point conversion, so they instead elect to kick the extra point. Before they can kick the extra point, there's a penalty on the Bears, which makes it half the distance to the goal line if they want to try the two-point conversion again. So they go for two. They successfully convert, and then the Bears are able to get into field goal range with 0.1 seconds left. There's no way there was a second left on the clock. And they were able to get a timeout called, and Eddie Pinheiro, they're calling him Eddie Money, rest in peace, in Chicago. Eddie Pinheiro comes through with a game-winning field goal. Bears win 16-14 and avoid starting the year 0-2.
That game was a dumpster fire.
Terrible officiating.
Oh, horrible.
On both sides. I know Bears fans were extremely upset on some penalties that were called against them. I think Broncos fans can certainly point to some calls that went against them. That was a poorly officiated game. You had one of the worst roughing the passer calls I've ever seen in my life.
There were arguably two of them in that game.
Correct.
But the one at the end was
one on
awful.
Each one on each team. You're talking about Chubb.
Yeah, I'm talking about Bradley Chubb's hit on Mitchell Trubisky.
A hit.
It was a hit.
He wraps him up and
tackles
him. And
As he was throwing the football.
20 years ago, you would look at that and say, boy, Trubisky got off easy there.
It was almost a sack.
Instead, it's a penalty. You also have, in addition to what was, I thought, solid games from Green Bay and Chicago yesterday. Two major injuries this week. Two teams are going to be without their star quarterback for a significant amount of time. Drew Brees is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a hand injury. The bigger news today is that Ben Roethlisberger is out for the entire season. The Steelers are 0-2. They lost Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown this offseason. Now they lose Ben Roethlisberger for the rest of the season. And if the Dolphins weren't so tremendously awful, I would be looking at Pittsburgh going, okay, here's your opportunity to find Ben Roethlisberger's replacement. But I don't think Pittsburgh can tank at this point and be worse than the Dolphins.
No, absolutely not.
Who lost, no. 43-0 the final score? Against the Patriots.
Yes.
The Patriots basically could have named the final score.
Yes,
the Dolphins have, 10 points across two games and have been blown out by the Ravens and the Patriots. You're not going to be able to put a number big enough on the Dolphins this year in sports books across the country.
Yeah, and they're going to get worse because they're going to trade away their best players
they have. Yes. This is going to be, they haven't moved Fitzpatrick yet.
They have not moved Minka Fitzpatrick. Okay. They have not moved Kenyon Drake.
But those guys will, as you said, they are going to, it's so bad in Miami that players are essentially going to the front office and saying, get me out of here. If you're going to have a fire sale, if you're going to get rid of anybody with a pulse, please trade me next. And it's not good for the National Football League. And we've seen teams obviously play for draft position before. We've never seen a team do what the Dolphins are doing right now, and that's a problem.
Yeah, we've never seen a team this bad.
It's the equivalent of throwing a season without actually throwing the games.
like you trade two of your best players before the season after the threat of, well, if you trade Kenny Stills and gosh darn it, I'm having a brain fart here, Laremy Tunsil. If you trade Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, there's going to be a revolt. And like hours after they said that, hours after that report came out, what did they do? They traded both of those guys. They want a revolt. They want players to want to leave, and they want to lose right now. That's what it seems like. And Brian Flores will be there as long as they're tanking, and then he'll get fired once they actually start.
He's like Ricky Renteria on the north side of Chicago.
Correct. Once they start getting maybe acquiring draft picks and looking like they're heading in the right direction, he'll be gone. They'll bring in a new coach. This is really bad. I don't think it's a good strategy in the NFL. I think that once you acquire enough talent, the career span of players is so short that it's the windows in the NFL are small, and it's hard to acquire that much talent in a short amount of time to be able to make this work. But they're going to give it a go. They're going to try their darndest.
I have a tremendous amount of sympathy for anybody who bought season tickets to the Dolphins, because I do believe at some point you know what you're getting into when you buy season tickets to see a team that you know probably isn't going to be very good. It's a completely different story to buy season tickets and then have the team intentionally losing games. Like, I know Colts fans were upset who had bought season tickets, and then Andrew Luck retires right before the start of the season, and they're saying, wait a minute, this is a bait and switch. We kind of got suckered in here. You can't say that with the Dolphins. But to have invested thousands of dollars in season tickets to see the team go out and not even try to be competitive, boy, that's an issue that I think the NFL needs to figure out how to address. Whether it's going to a lottery or levying a fine against an organization, the object is to put a competitive team on the field and try to win. And the Dolphins are not doing that this year. And of course, they're also doing it in the wrong year, because, yeah, Tua might be good, but there's a guy at Clemson who teams are lining up for. They're trying to figure out how they're going to lose next year, not this year.
They're
going to
tank both years.
Well, stranger things have happened, I guess.
What's the biggest problem right now for the NFL? Is it the officiating / I think they're putting their officials in a bad position. That's
the NFC Championship game last year.
Yeah,
completely broke the NFL, because they now have, look at what happened in the Vikings-Packers game yesterday, where suddenly everything becomes reviewable, and the Vikings have a touchdown taken off the board for offensive pass interference that wasn't even called.
How did they overturn that?
And that was look, if you're unaware, I am a Green Bay fan. And there are always some people who are new to the program, and I don't exactly go around and completely trumpet it all the time, but my allegiances lie with the Packers. That was an atrocious call. That may have been borderline questionable, but it wasn't anything that I thought affected the outcome of the play. You're not supposed to block more than a yard downfield. He was doing it. There was no penalty on the play. They went back and saw it on replay. This is all traced back to what happened in the Superdome with the Saints. And now you've opened up Pandora's box, and you can't put it back inside. This is going to cause way more problems than it's going to actually solve.
Yeah, and I hear people say, well, I want them to have some consistency with it as far as, okay, well, if you're reviewing a penalty, it has to be very clear and obvious that they miss the call for it to be overturned, which is how I think most officiating crews handle it. But it depends on the officiating crew. And we've seen some very obvious penalties get reviewed and not overturned. And then we see that one in Minnesota somehow get overturned when it had no bearing on the play and there was anything but obvious. So here's the short story of my NFL viewing yesterday. I watched two games start to finish. And the biggest takeaway that I had in both games was this officiating crew stinks. This officiating crew is taking away from this game. That would be the Packers and the Vikings, the Bears and the Broncos.
Oh, damn it. I'm not doing this. This is now, this conversation has just opened up Iowa State fans to complain about the officiating Saturday in Ames. No. No, we're talking about the NFL. I'm trying to cleanse my palate. I am so over Iowa and Iowa State right now. Please don't do this to us. Please don't drag us kicking and screaming back down the Cyhawk wormhole.
And to the person...
It's always the official's fault.
I will say, to the person who was complaining about it,
why?
I also pointed that out on Twitter. That was a bad call, but we'll move on from it. I pointed that out, caught a lot of flack for that one, because I was pointing out many missed calls on Twitter from officials in college football and in the NFL. Caught some flack for it, but the Bears and the Broncos, the Packers, and the Vikings, the only thing worse than the officiating in that the Bears and the or the, excuse me the Packers and Vikings game was Kirk Cousins.
Well, I can agree with you on that. That game was 21-0. I thought Green Bay was going to completely embarrass Minnesota, and I'm sitting there going, "Well, you know what? Not a bad start to the Matt LaFleur era. The only coaches in Green Bay history to start 2-0, if the statistic was actually accurate." Maybe a guy by the name of Vince Lombardi and Matt LaFleur, but then Minnesota, Dalvin Cook is a beast. And I'll tell you what, I don't even remember the guy's name. Their backup running back
A rookie. Alexander Mattison?
Alexander Mattison needs to be owned.
Did you see
fantasy football
Don Beebe's son?
I did.
He can run too.
He was pretty impressive in the return game, but I'm watching that game, and I immediately got on my fantasy football app and put a waiver claim in on Madison, because if anything happens to Dalvin Cook, I'm telling you right now, that guy is going to be a pop-up superstar if he gets an opportunity. Fantasy football superstar. Speaking of, David Montgomery finally got utilized by Matt Nagy and the Bears yesterday. They finally figured out that they have a talented running back. He was able to score his first NFL touchdown just barely. Just barely. They had to review it to make sure that the ball was in, but it was. David Montgomery has officially arrived on the scene in the NFL. It was just a premature launch. Basically, Bears-Packers was week zero. Pretend like it didn't exist. That's the David Montgomery. I don't know how much of that game you saw. The Denver defense continues to be a pretty stout unit. They were stopping David Montgomery. It looked a lot like his time at Iowa State. David Montgomery would theoretically be stopped at the line of scrimmage and somehow manage to gain 2 or 3 yards. He's good.
He is.
He is good.
That offense is loaded, and their quarterback is holding them back. That's my diagnosis.
I didn't want to go.
Now.
And look,
it's what it is.
It's a long season, and we've got plenty of opportunity to nitpick and ask the Mitchell Trubisky question, but Bears fans, you got to be pretty nervous at this point, right? Because you've got a team that looks like it can compete this year and do some special things. Week one loss to the Packers notwithstanding, and Mitch Trubisky looks like a lot of previous Bears quarterbacks, and that's not exactly a good thing. 5:50, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, yes, more Cyhawk football talk to come, but we're not talking about the officiating. I'm not doing it. Look, I don't know why this is a thing for some Iowa State fans to go back to every single time the Cyclones lose a football game. It's the fault of the officials.
I don't think it was. I just think it was a bad call.
It was a bad. Sure, it was a bad call, but you're better than that. Stop doing it. You become a caricature of yourself at some point. We'll have audio of Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz coming up as well, but we'll also hear from AJ Epenesa and Geno Stone before 7 o'clock tonight, too. Quick timeout. More of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn to come here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Here's Howie Long for Skechers Wide Fit Footwear.
I'm 6'5", and I can tell you there are certain challenges in life that only big guys understand. Regular clothes don't fit. Heck, regular cars don't fit. But when it comes to shoes, Skechers gets it. That's why I wear Skechers Wide Fit. They've got extra room throughout, giving you room to breathe. And they've got Skechers exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort that lasts all day long.
Find Skechers Wide Fit at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold. Skechers, comfort included.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
5:53, we welcome you back in. The Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. Do you have children? Do you have pets? If you do, you know that both kids and pets, especially dogs, can do damage to flooring. Well, Randy's has a line of flooring specifically designed for families with children and or pets. You can learn more about their offerings by visiting them in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip, randysflooring.com. Randy's, the Monday presenting sponsor of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Let's hear really briefly from Iowa defensive end A.J. Epinesa. This is inside Jack Trice Stadium after the game on Saturday night. A.J. talking about the end of the game.
That fourth down play, knocked the pass down, special teams play. Describe what defense and special teams did in that final 4 minutes.
That drive before the punt, we knew we had to stop them. I mean, we were up by 1 point at the time. I mean, we won by 1 point, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we were up by 1 point, and they were across the 50, I'm pretty sure, but not close enough to where they could kick a field goal, or they were close to across the 50. And we had to make a stop. I mean, they had been moving the ball on us all day. They knew what was they knew how to work against us, and we really struggled, but we were able to keep grinding, keep fighting, and hold them off, and draw a holding penalty, which countered the pass interference, which, we worked hard, and we got after it, and that drive was just really big. We had to get a stop. We knew that, and just playing balls out, getting to the ball every play, and that really helped us there.
And there you have A.J. Epinesa referring to the penalty that Iowa State fans have mentioned throughout the course of the first 2 hours of the program today, and that is the holding call on Iowa State's final possession that negated the pass interference.
Yeah.
Iowa gets flagged for pass interference on that, and
yeah, I think it was D.J. Johnson coming over the back of the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Meeker was called for a hold.
Cedar Rapids zone.
On, I believe, Amani Jones. It, it was a bad call. Bad calls happen. Iowa took advantage of it, and the rest is history.
It could have affected the outcome of the game, but not as much as letting a punt hit your back when you're tackling your own teammate and giving the ball back to Iowa with a minute and a half where the Hawkeyes can then run the clock out.
Oh, there's no question. Iowa State had a chance to put the game away several times, and they didn't do it. They were moving the ball offensively. They got down into Iowa territory seven times, and Iowa's defense stood up to them, and Iowa State struggled when they got in Iowa territory, when the field shrunk down. And they had a chance there with a minute and 37 seconds left. Who knows what would have happened if they would have gotten that 10th and final possession as it stood.
Oh, I do. Brock Purdy would have sliced and diced Iowa's defense, and they would have had a field goal to win it. 5:57, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for the third and final hour. Back after this.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
5:58. Make sure you keep it tuned to KGYM this evening at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM, especially if you are an Iowa State fan. We will have the Cyclone Sideline Show for you tonight. John Walters joined by Matt Campbell at the Applebee's in Ames. Brought to you by Lisa Nolan, a REMAX Real Estate Concepts realtor and a huge Iowa State fan. You can visit her online at lisanolanrealtor.com. And I'm sure there will be a number of tweets. They no longer take phone calls, but they do take tweets regarding some of the officiating. And I'm sure John Walters and Matt Campbell will handle that with aplomb. But you can listen in tonight beginning at 7 o'clock. FM listeners, we've got Monday Night Football for you. The Browns, a 7-point road favorite over a New York Jets team that is sort of a walking MASH unit at this point. And the Browns should win that game, but can the Jets keep it close? It's a question that we'll know an answer to coming up in just a few hours. Hour number three on the way next. We'll hear from Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi, breaking news. ESPN's Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen reporting the agent for Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey asked for a trade after the Texans' loss. His agent said the Jags are seeking at least one first-round pick for Ramsey, and that's just a starting point in any deal, points out Yahoo Sports senior NFL reporter Charles Robinson.
Jalen Ramsey's not getting out of there for, I mean, we're talking multiple, a package of picks that has to include a first-rounder, maybe players. I mean, they look at him as being that kind of piece. They're not going to fire sale him. There's so much cap space out there moving forward. Anybody could acquire this guy as long as you're willing to give up the pieces to go and get him, because you're going to extend him as soon as you get him, and that's really what he wants. He wants the contract extension.
Charles Robinson on Spain and Company. Ramsey will not be disciplined for his blow-up on the sidelines yesterday with Coach Doug Marrone. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger will have season-ending elbow surgery this week and miss the remainder of the season. Mason Rudolph is now the Steelers starter. Roethlisberger in a statement said he intends to fulfill the 3 years remaining on his contract. Schefter reporting Saints QB Drew Brees will soon have surgery on his injured thumb, is expected to be sidelined about 6 weeks. Teddy Bridgewater likely becomes the starter with Brees out. Cowboys receiver Michael Gallup will have arthroscopic knee surgery tomorrow, and that could force him to be out 2 to 4 weeks. He is the Cowboys' leading receiver through the first two games of the season. Live coverage continues on ESPN-TV and the ESPN app for the Browns and Jets. They're meeting on Monday Night Football for the first time since the first ever ABC Monday Night Football game back in 1970.
The hunt for October is heating up. The St. Louis Cardinals and the Washington Nationals. Coverage begins tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Presented by Scott's.
Twins and the Indians one more time. What had been a great weekend in Cleveland, hoping to end it that way as well. Twins looking for a three-game sweep after taking both games of the doubleheader on Saturday. The Twins were going to piece it together somewhat. Randy Dobnak, the start, and Shane Bieber, the All-Star Game MVP, opposing for the Indians. And Bieber just wasn't as sharp as we've seen him from the early going today. The Twins put a lot of balls in play, a lot of hard contact, but the Twins were still down early in the game 2-0 as the Twins allowed two runs, only one earned, and that was a theme on Sunday in the opening inning. Miguel Sano homered his 29th. That came off Bieber to make it a 2-1 game. Same score now into the sixth inning. Bieber still pitching with one out. Eddie Rosario came to the plate.
0-1 pitch. Swung on and hit high in the air to deep right field. If it's fair, it's 30. It's 30 for Rosario. It's history for the Twins, and it's a 2-2 game in Cleveland.
Rosario had a really nice weekend series in Ohio. His home run, number 30. Twins tie an MLB record, first time in team history they've had four guys with 30 home runs or more in the same season, and that tied the game at two. But they were far from done after Williams Astudillo took a rare four-pitch walk. Jonathan Scope struck out, but then Lamont Wade Jr. hit a home run. His first big league home run gave the Twins a 4-2 lead. Twins had momentum. But then Fernando Romero began the sixth. He struck out Yasiel Puig. Jason Kipnis doubled out to left on a route that Eddie Rosario, not his most efficient route, on a ball that he probably should have caught in left, could not make the play. A walk to Franmil Reyes, and then an error by Jonathan Scope allowed to run to score, and the Twins were only up by one. Kyle Gibson then came in from the bullpen, gave up a three-run homer to Roberto Perez, and that was a huge blow, a 6-4 game at that point. Twins got a run back on Eddie's second homer in the seventh inning to pull within one, but then another unearned run scored in the seventh inning to make it 7-5, and that's the way the game would end. The Twins commit four errors in the game, and with that, three unearned runs score, and the Indians win 7-5. Nick Whitgren got the win. The losing pitcher, Fernando Romero. Randy Dobnak did fine. Five innings, two runs, one earned as he struck out two. So the magic number to wrap up the division stays at 9. Twins leave Cleveland with a 4.5-game lead. They still pick up a game. As to when this series began, they pick up one game. After they're denied the sweep, though, they win the series with the doubleheader sweep on Saturday. Twins are heading back home. The White Sox in town for three, starting Monday night with Jose Berríos on the mound for Game 1. Despite four home runs, Twins lose 7-5, and we'll join you on Monday night at 6 o'clock with the pregame show. From Cleveland, Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Today, business happens here. Here and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
6:06, welcome in the third and final hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. Also heard on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and online at KGYMradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question. How would you describe Saturday night's Seahawk game? An instant classic or instantly forgettable? The poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. While we're on the subject of Emil's Hideaway, a big thank you once again for their sponsorship of the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway. You can hear this week's version at 3:45 on Friday, the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. We gained a pair of games. Everybody was 500 or better this week, including our own Dave Alec, who was 5-1 with his selections, his first weekly win of the season. I was 4-2 again this week. I've been 4-2 every single week, but that's okay because it's a 12-6 mark on the season. Scott Unash is doing the heavy lifting for the gym class. He's 13-5. Alex, 7-11 so far.
Luckily, that 4-2 week got me back up into striking distance.
I'm hoping you did a little bit better than that Saturday at the Elite Sportsbook and Casino. How were things? You told me that you met Alex, for those of you who don't know, was in Riverside from noon until 3 on Saturday, broadcasting inside the Draft Day Lounge, where the Elite Sportsbook is located. I know you said Ed stopped by to say hi.
Had a long conversation with Ed. Bill was there.
Traveling Bill.
Traveling Bill was there. Had a good conversation with him. And there were a lot of people that poured in right before 3 o'clock to get those bets in.
And then it started pouring in Ames, and they paused the game for a little bit, and then they played again, and then we took another breather. It was not an ideal situation for anybody involved. I will say that.
I have to be honest, and maybe it was more so for a lot of people. I felt for you guys inside the press box at Jack Trice Stadium.
Did anybody come and ask for Kuhn's play of the week?
Bill. Bill did.
It didn't hit.
No, he didn't ask for it. He kind of knew which one I was talking about, and I had actually put some money down on it. Did not hit. One of the teams, I just didn't expect they'd have this good a defense and the other team have that bad of offense. Nah. But it did not hit. I did not have a good weekend of predicting any games.
But we're going to turn it around this week.
But I'm going to turn it around.
The gambler's philosophy.
Yeah, I had a three-team parlay that I'm like, this is a lock. And it went 0-3.
I'm sorry I interrupted you there. Why were you thinking of us in the press box?
I was thinking about you guys in the press box and how you were having to sit there for 6 hours.
We were fine. They left the food out for us. Well, so it just turned into just a giant smorgasbord of pulled pork and hot dogs that had been stewing in their own juices for 6 hours, and people continued to eat them.
So I had this realization while this game's looking like maybe they're going to have to reschedule it. I believe Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette had tweeted he was less than 50-50 that the game was going to get underway. Chad Lystico, who joined us just a little while ago, had tweeted what was going to happen if they couldn't get the game in, what were the options for the ADs and the coaches. So at this point, I'm thinking this game's not going to get in. And this last week wasn't a great week for me. There were a bunch of things that happened. I'm not going to get into it. But last week wasn't a great week, and part of it was there just wasn't a lot of oomph around the lead into this game, and we're all just waiting for this game to kick off so there's something that we can sink our teeth into. There's something that's going to come from this game that is going to get everybody talking. And when I'm seeing all these tweets that the game might not happen, this thought of, wow, I just wasted a week of my life started to creep into my mind. Like, if this game doesn't happen, this whole last week was just a waste. So I was very happy when the game got underway, and it sort of lived up to some of the hype.
Yeah, we didn't really know what was going on in the press box in Ames. This is a little bit different than the South Dakota State game last year in week one, because in that particular instance, you had the line of storms, which extended all the way back into Nebraska,
right.
And it just kept coming and coming and coming. This, you were looking at, we actually thought the game was going to start under a delay. We were surprised that they kicked off at 3 o'clock because we could tell what was coming, and we thought, well, maybe they will push kickoff to 4 o'clock and try to see whether or not they can dodge the bullet here. And they got started, and then quickly we went into a delay. The fascinating part that we learned for the first time in 21 years is Kirk Ferentz does not like pregame warmups. They are the least favorite part of his game day ritual. He hates them. And he had to go through them not once, not twice, but essentially three times. Iowa, during the second delay, sent out for sandwiches with a police escort. I believe it was some of the team managers. They got a police escort to a couple establishments in Ames and brought back sandwiches to the Iowa locker room. Nate Stanley said he did not eat any of them. A couple of the other players did eat. Michael Ojemudia managed to work in a 45-minute nap.
That's incredible. How in the world?
Well, Ken Griffey Jr. used to take naps in the Mariners clubhouse, and
well,
then
yeah, but
that got Don Wakamatsu fired.
You're playing like 162 games. Like, this is the biggest game to this point
see,
in the year.
That to me was
a the adrenaline going.
Major surprise. You would think that these guys are just so amped up. But maybe you get the adrenaline, because when you do have an adrenaline rush, you get an inevitable crash.
True.
And so maybe they got so amped up for kickoff, and then they just dialed it down. But I'm picturing Michael Ojemudia, maybe with a traveling version of MyPillow or something, just curled up on the floor. There are two types of people in this world. There are people who absolutely cannot sleep unless they are laying in a bed.
That would be me.
And then there are people like my late father and myself who can sleep anywhere. I can sleep on a floor. There were times when
I
was...
It's a great skill to have.
It is, because there were times when I was younger where three of us would be sharing a hotel room, and you've got one bed and maybe a couch, and of course, we can't sleep in the same bed together because you're young and stupid and you think that that somehow will make you gay. I don't know. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm on the floor. Give me a pillow and give me something to cover up, a sheet, maybe a comforter, and I'm good. I have the ability. My wife was upset because I fell asleep last night and started snoring immediately, and this was after a day where I did nothing physically taxing at all. I literally sat on the couch all day and watched football. And she's like, I don't get it. How can you just immediately fall asleep and start snoring? And I was like, I love sleep. So maybe Michael Ojemudia has a little bit of that inherent, I can sleep anywhere in him. And he wasn't the only player, according to some of the guys we talked to after the game, who did manage to sneak in some naps. I'm just picturing a police escort to pick up. And then when you walk
the
in,
sandwich
you got,
shops, like, why are the cops here?
You have,
who is
you have an entire traveling roster of players and coaches. I mean, that's a lot of sandwiches to suddenly be making on a Saturday night when you're probably busy anyway because you got a lot of extra people in town. They don't pull that off in Ames Saturday if they don't allow people to exit the stadium and come back in. And I know that that's a gray area, and ever since 9/11, it's been very difficult. Some stadiums do not allow you to leave and re-enter, and I don't know specifically how they did it, but I did hear from a number of people who were in the parking lot tailgating. I got an offer to come out during the delay in tailgate, and I said, I can't do that. And B, why would I want to do that? I'm in the press box where it's dry.
And there's food.
And there was food. And I bet those hot dogs, there's still a pan of hot dogs in the Jack Trice press box. They're still sitting there. And I guarantee you, if somebody walked by right now, if there was a bun out there, they would grab one and eat one. The food started, I think, at 11 in the morning, and it was still there at 8:30 at night, and people were still mowing down. 319-366-1600. The game, if it would have been, I guess, washed out, for lack of a better term, both teams had a bye week November 2nd, but I guess at that point there's no guarantee that they would have played one another. Nobody really discussed that openly in the press box, and it didn't come to fruition, so it really seems like a waste of time to even discuss. But I believe Iowa State would be heading into Oklahoma, and Iowa would be preparing for the Wisconsin game, and everybody was like, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't. Well, you don't want to have an opening on your schedule. I guess it could lead to fighting over playing Drake again or something like that, or finding a team that also had an opening on the schedule. Luckily, it never came to that. I know Gary Barta was in the Iowa locker room, and I think Jamie Pollard was in the Iowa State locker room with Matt Campbell. And I think you discuss a lot of contingency options at that point, but everybody in 2019 that has a smartphone has the capability of looking at radar and seeing, okay, hey, couple hours, this is going to be out of the area. I really don't have a problem with stopping games, high school games, college games, due to weather. Lightning is one of those things where I think it's easy to be a cowboy on your couch where you're sitting there going, come on, Buttercup, go out there and play the game. If you see, I've always been taught that if you see lightning, you're capable of being struck by the lightning. That if it's in the vicinity and it's an 8-mile cone is what we're talking about here. I had a number of people, well, if the lightning is east of the stadium, that's the direction that the storm is moving in. Well, yeah, it's moving in that direction, but it doesn't mean something can't come in behind you a lot closer. So from that standpoint, everybody made it out safe on Saturday. I did see the Ames Police Department, or maybe it was the Iowa State Police Department, shared these statistics from Saturday. Way fewer arrests and citations than I would have thought. Good. I will say this. Because of where I had to park, I walked through dozens and dozens of other people's tailgates, and there were obviously a number of Iowa fans, although it certainly looked like Iowa State fans held on to their tickets. It's not like previous years where there was a lot of black in the stands. Maybe Iowa fans wore gold and blended in. That's on them. But for the most part, what I saw was people on both sides of the rivalry. Virtually every tailgate that I walked through, traipsing through on my way to the press box, had a mix of Iowa and Iowa State fans. This is one of those moments where, yeah, you know, it's a rivalry, but you've got a cousin or a friend or somebody that you tailgate with who's an Iowa fan or an Iowa State fan. And I saw a lot of great camaraderie, and I saw people really enjoying themselves and, to a certain extent, maybe over-enjoying themselves. And then you have the stories that you get every year, and I still don't know the purpose of Iowa putting out the press release that it did today in the 3 o'clock hour, because now you basically have Iowa State fans and Iowa fans online fighting about which fan base is more thin-skinned. And, well, if something happened to the Iowa band, which, again, the statement from Gary Barta says that something happened to the band, and we've had some people say that it was a physical altercation of some sort. I can't corroborate.
There are no details, right?
I can't corroborate that for certain, but I'll be as vague as I can that perhaps something physical happened between an Iowa State fan and somebody in the Iowa band unprovoked. So you've got stories now on Twitter and the text line. Well, this happened to me when I was in the Iowa State band and we went to Iowa City and vice versa. And look, I think it's a very good rivalry, and I think 90 to 95% of both fan bases have the proper perspective on playing Iowa and Iowa State. The problem is, and Twitter amplifies things, and Facebook and social media amplifies things, the 10% have never had a louder voice in the conversation than they do in the Twitter era.
Welcome to 2019.
And that's part of the problem with this, is that you hear the 10% and you hear the stories of, look, it was 2002 when Iowa played Iowa State at night at Kinnick Stadium. By the way, there's a reason that that game has never been played in Iowa City that late again. They did not want a replay of how that day played out because it got ugly. I met up with my cousin and his wife and walked with them from their tailgate to the stadium. My cousin was wearing, I believe it was a Seneca Wallace jersey, and I was embarrassed at some of the things that I heard and saw. And I think there was at least one empty beer can that was thrown in his general direction, and he wasn't doing or saying anything. He was walking to the stadium. Okay. Do I judge an entire fan base on that? No, I don't. But it was still ugly, and I'm thinking, I'm not dumb enough to think that this doesn't happen to Iowa fans when they're in Ames either. So from that standpoint, you're never going to have a game between Iowa and Iowa State where there aren't incidents. Something happens. Why is this? To me, this sort of strikes me as the Gary Dolphin, Fran McCaffrey, well, there's previous incidents, and nobody knew about it. I went back and I searched Twitter and I sent a couple texts to some other media members and I said, hey, I'm kind of out of the message board scene. I haven't seen anything specific, but if Iowa puts out a release like this, it's got to be pretty well known what happened.
Right.
Nobody knows. So I'm thinking, oh boy, Iowa has misfired here because nobody really knew what happened. Nobody knew if there was this incident occurred. And now Iowa's out there, and you've got Iowa State fans saying, how thin-skinned can you possibly be? Now, some of these same Iowa State fans are mad at a gas station's Twitter account today. So keep in mind that both fan bases kind of lose their collective minds during this week, and it's almost worse after the game. Because in the week leading up to, you've got mutual respect. But the minute somebody hangs an L, the minute that one fan base takes a W and the other one is hung with an L, that's when the claws come out. And I'm not talking about white claws, which, by the way, I saw a lot more natural light seltzer than I did white claws.
They have competition.
They do have competition, but maybe that's because white claw is becoming so scarce now. And if you've never heard me
everywhere, I don't know what those people are talking about.
People may be hoarding it to use as currency because, yeah, if there's a shortage of it, there certainly was plenty in Ames. And there were definitely laws as well, as Iowa State's police department can attest to, because there were citations. But like I said, I walked through dozens of tailgates on my way to the stadium, and for the most part, people were enjoying themselves and coexisting, and it was Iowans hanging out with other Iowans, and whatever happened on the field happened. I think everybody was expecting a good game on Saturday. I think that was a good game.
It was.
It wasn't maybe the most aesthetically pleasing, and I know folks outside of the state of Iowa had their fair share of fun saying, this is a typical Iowa-Iowa State game. It's ugly. It set football back a decade.
I didn't see it with that game.
Was that game any uglier than Michigan State and Arizona State?
It was way prettier.
No.
It was way prettier. You're not going to score a lot when your team's combined for 20 possessions. Like, the math isn't there. Like, I understand that there is the argument that both teams settled for three instead of seven quite a bit. You can make that argument, but there was plenty of moving of the football. There was good offense. There was good defense. There were some really bad mistakes. It cost Iowa State the game. The problem with Iowa State right now and the way that they lost that game is those crucial mistakes completely outweigh the way that they played, which was pretty darn well. Both teams, I thought, played pretty darn well. So, no, I didn't see that game as one of those ugly slugfests where nobody's able to move the football and they're tripping over each other on offense. That's not what that game was.
A good host would have given out the telephone number multiple times during that segment. I am no such thing. 319-366-1600. Iowa State fans, Iowa fans, if you've got any angst or any feelings that you need to get out of your system so that you can go into Tuesday clear-hearted and with an open mind, clear-minded with an open heart, whatever the saying is, 319-366-1600. You pick up the phone and give us a call or use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line.
One thing I will say, Iowa State, you are putting some money into that Jack Trice Stadium. You have a good program now. Please, please invest in field turf. I thought that the sod held up pretty well, considering the circumstances. But this is 2019. Please get field turf.
Counterpoint, football should be played on natural grass.
But it's not anymore.
I love the fact that Iowa, in the week leading up to this game, every other year, has to take its specialists and go to the soccer complex and practice kicking. And Keith Duncan said they did this past week, and the day that they went, it rained. And lo and behold, that turned out to be fortuitous for the Hawkeyes because they got some practice not only kicking on grass, but kicking on grass in less than ideal conditions. And maybe I'm just old school here, I like the fact that Iowa State has natural turf, and they're such a their school is so built on that identity, and the people there who take care of the field and the turf,
they clearly did a great job,
take such pride in it that they're never going to have turf there. Now I will say this about Jack Trice, it now feels like going to a legitimate Power 5 stadium, and it did not 20 years ago. The end zones weren't enclosed. You could walk right up to the stadium on game day and park. It now feels, with the addition of the Sukup End Zone Club and closing in the other end zone, the renovations to the press box, the renovations to the exterior, you've got the Jacobson Building and the new facility, the indoor facility at Iowa State, it now feels like a big-time program. And so I think Iowa State's made tremendous strides on that front. Matt Campbell just needs to figure out how to beat Iowa. And he didn't. We talked about that all week last week. That was one of the few boxes that remain unchecked on his to-do list in Ames. And now for another 364 days or whatever it is, he's going to have to try to figure out how to do it. They threw everything in the kitchen sink at Iowa, including a really well-designed trick play coming out of the delay that I think caught Iowa with the pants around the ankles, and it looked like for just a split second, it's going to be one of those days where nothing's going to go right for Iowa, and the Hawkeyes were able to play relatively mistake-free football. They didn't turn things over, and Iowa State couldn't do that, and they turned the ball over in the most egregious way possible in the most important possession of the game, which was their last one. And that's why they lost.
Yeah, they're going to look back at that game. That's one of those losses where you sort of get haunted by it, where you think you go over every single play and think, okay, well, if this would have broken this way, if the ball would have bounced this way, if a call goes this way, if we do this, we win the game. And they have to get over that. Now, there's good news and there's bad news all in one. The good news and the bad news is all those guys in that locker room, most of them have experienced this before. They have moved on from the Iowa loss and had a really good season in the Big 12, and I expect they're going to do that again.
Again, Iowa State. Iowa lost to the Cyclones in devastating fashion in 2002 and then reeled off 9 consecutive wins and went to a BCS bowl game when that system was in place. So you're still undefeated in the Big 12. You've still got a team that can compete in the Big 12. Things are not necessarily down and out, but I get it. It certainly is not a good feeling losing to your rival. 319-366-1600. Let's go ahead, and since Kyle is in here, he can bring you his final Big Board update of the day now rather than on the other side of this break. Big Board updates brought to you 3 times a day on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn by Alexander Lumber. They've got all the materials you need for your next construction project. located at 420th Street in Iowa City, or if you're looking to redo the interior of your home, the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It's always something when it comes to the Cy-Hawk series, and our 2019 matchup from the past weekend will be remembered as the one with 2.5 hours of lightning delays, but also as an 18-17 victory for the Hawkeyes, courtesy of a Keith Duncan field goal with just under 5 minutes remaining, and then sealed by two Cyclones colliding on a punt return. The Cyclones outgained the Hawkeyes by over 100 yards, but Matt Campbell says it was a handful of self-inflicted errors that prevented them from winning. In fact, Brent Bloom found a stat that says teams that gained 7.7 yards per play, as the Cyclones did, and held their opponents to 4.3 yards per play or less, again, as the Cyclones did to the Hawkeyes, those teams had been 498-1 in the history of college football until the Cyclones became the second team to lose such a game on Saturday. Following the win, the Hawkeyes are ranked 18th this week. For his effort, Duncan was named the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. He was a perfect 4-for-4, including the game winner, and is now 8-for-8 this season and 4-for-4 from beyond 40 yards. DJ Johnson was also thrust into a critical role with the secondary dealing with injuries, and he responded in a big way and was named a co-freshman of the week for it. He had team highs with 8 tackles, 7 of them solo, and also had 2 pass breakups, including a big one late in the game. There is a little bit of bad news out of Cedar Falls today, where Mark Farley explained today that All-American tight end Briley Moore may not return this season, and if he does, it's not going to be until late in October. Former Hawkeye basketball player Ahmad Wagner is able to play for Kentucky this season, and he's proving he just might have made the right choice in switching sports. He had 3 catches for 70 yards and a SportsCenter top 10 touchdown against Florida this weekend, and that's really just a continuation of what he's already shown. The 6'5", 234-pounder, actually listed as a receiver, has been targeted 16 times. He's got 9 catches for 2 touchdowns and 6 pass interferences drawn. Tonight after the show, we'll have John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on the main gym and Browns Jets on Monday Night Football on the FMs.
All right, when we return, we'll hear a little bit of what Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz had to say after his team's narrow escape from a muddy Jack Trice Stadium Saturday night. More of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring, after this.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
6:36, we welcome you back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Local programming will pick up again tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes come your way every day from 3 until 4 on the Gym Class, presented by Third Base Brewery. Just like KGYM, Third Base Brewery, proud to be locally owned. A great place to stop in and grab a drink or a bite to eat. Third Base Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class. As we mentioned, Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media after a lengthy delay on Saturday. I think he was caught up with Gary Dolphin and Ed Podolak on the post game. By the way, you can see into the visiting broadcast booth in Ames at Jack Trice Stadium, and it warmed my heart to see the bobblehead that the Cedar Rapids Colonels made of the late, great Bob Brooks a couple years ago. Somebody brings the Bob Brooks bobblehead to the broadcast booth, and so Brooksy was looking down on Iowa and Iowa State from the Jack Trice Stadium press box. Luckily for Iowa and Iowa State, both broadcast crews had plenty of pre-recorded material that they were able to use to fill during the two lightning delays. I think Iowa, Gary and Ed stayed on live for most of the first delay, and then the second delay, which was longer, they had some pre-recorded material because I was able to chat with both Gary and Ed in the press box. Ed made a comment on the broadcast about putting a dome over Jack Trice Stadium. I'm sure that got under the skin of some Iowa State fans. Let's hear Kirk Ferentz. We'll start with his opening statement. He sort of seemed a little shell shocked, and this is the guy who won his team won the game. Kirk Ferentz starting things off Saturday with the media.
So, you know, needless to say, we're just really, really thrilled to get the victory tonight. It was hard fought. Very proud of our team, our staff. You know, the resiliency that they showed throughout the entire game, and you know, one thing you can almost bet on in this series, it's going to be a four-quarter game. Today was certainly obviously that, and a lot of ups and downs, including the weather. You know, hard to script to prepare for that. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, it was a real test of mental toughness, physical toughness. I thought our guys did a great job against a team that played extremely well, and they're an outstanding football team too. So, you know, we're just thrilled to get the victory and proud of our seniors. Getting great leadership, and we got it tonight. First time on the road in a tough place to play. So seniors did a great job too, and bottom line, we're 3-0, and just happy about that. Happy that we got a bye week. Let everybody take an ice bath, and then we'll move on to the next step.
Now, since we had some people bringing up Nate Stanley's performance and still questioning his performance, by the way, this is Nate Stanley, who has never lost to Iowa State, nor will he ever lose to Iowa State. This is what Kirk Ferentz had to say. But you can say what you want about Nate Stanley's job. Here's Kirk Ferentz talking about his quarterback.
Coach, Nate Stanley wasn't quite as proficient as he did throughout the first two games, but it looks like his leadership really showed in the second half. What did you think he did?
Yeah, two things. I think, first of all, you got to give credit to our opponent. They played great defense tonight. They were very aggressive and very tough to move the ball against and score against. So, to me, it starts there. And I can't say enough about what Nate's doing right now. I think he's more in control than he's ever been since we've been around him, and the throw he made on that 3rd and 22 or 3rd and 25, whatever it was, as good as I've seen him throw. So yeah, that was a huge play, and took two good players to make it and good protection on top of it. But that, you know, staying on the sideline, that was pretty impressive.
And another takeaway, the Iowa defense. They played only 13 players on Saturday, in large part due to the fact that the secondary was in bad shape. Matt Hankins was not able to go. Kayvon Merriweather was out for this game. Kirk Ferentz addressed the performance of that unit in particular.
Pretty good stand by your secondary after, you know, so many bodies in and out. How do you keep them
from freaking out, I guess.
Yeah, it's not easy, you know. And DJ's first start, you know, Kerner's a veteran now. He's got two starts. He's moved past Merriweather, so happy about that. And he was heads up, obviously, you know, at the end there. It was a heads up play there. But, for those guys to come up with that big stand at the end, you know, it was huge, obviously. And that's, again, team football. We had some ups and downs. Gave up a couple big plays, but we needed it. We came up with it and, gave the offense a chance to bleed the clock a little bit.
6:40 on a Monday afternoon. Hawkeye fans still celebrating a victory and figuring out how they escaped Ames with a win. Iowa State fans looking back and saying, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's not a fun feeling. First time in the history of the series, 1 point decided. And I think to me, I look at that and I say, you know what? We got exactly what we were expecting. Two evenly matched teams. The problem is, I think some Iowa fans thought that they were way better than Iowa State. And Iowa State fans maybe thought that they were as good, if not better, than Iowa. And when you have
that were both wrong.
Perception and you're both wrong, what you get is, yeah.
I'll say it again. I thought it was a very entertaining game, and I don't think the score indicated the level of effectiveness or efficiency of either offense. When you limit possessions, you're going to have low-scoring games. Not to say the defenses didn't play well. I thought it was the perfect balance of an Iowa-Iowa State game of good offense and good defense. The game ultimately was defined by mistakes made by Iowa State and Iowa's ability to make them pay for them. So we've spent almost 3 hours unpacking what we saw, and there was a lot to unpack. There was a lot to unpack. I think we've gotten to pretty much everything that we could, and I've boiled it down to that. So Iowa State will move on. There's no doubt in my mind. Now Iowa has to try to build on this because this is not the last time they're going to be in games like this.
Keith Duncan.
That. We didn't really get to that.
I brought him up with Chad Lystico in the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed our segment with the Des Moines Register Hawkeye beat writer, the podcast will be available shortly at kgymradio.com. 9 times out of 10, somebody in Keith Duncan's shoes, his little kicking shoes, goes elsewhere, especially when you are an out-of-state resident paying out-of-state tuition. And instead, Keith Duncan stood by, watched Miguel Racinos make field goal after field goal for the last 2 years, and he's gotten his moment this season, and he has seized upon it. And it's become a feel-good story, in as much as a kicker can be a feel-good story. But the unsung MVP, he takes his spot in Cyclone and Hawkeye Cyhawk lore, along with Brett Culberson, who single-handedly kicked Iowa State to victory 1 year. Iowa doesn't win that game without Keith Duncan.
His career has been so strange because,
by the way, that's the most Cyhawk sentence ever spoken. Iowa doesn't win that game without the kicker.
Yeah, that's this game. So in some ways, it resembled a Cyhawk game, and then in other ways, it was completely different. But yes, that is very true. This wasn't him making a chip shot field goal in against Michigan to win 14-13. I'm not going to say single-handedly won this game for Iowa, but he was huge. He made some really difficult kicks and difficult situations. And after the highest of highs that he could possibly experience as a kicker, and we all know how difficult it is being a kicker is on certain people mentally, he gets benched, he sits out a year, and then comes back the next year better than he was 2 years prior. So that was an awesome story, and without him, we're probably talking about an Iowa State victory on Saturday.
I do want to get this Matt Campbell in here. It's toward the bottom of the sheet where he's talking about Iowa making fewer mistakes than Iowa State, because as has been pointed out, the Hawkeyes have not turned the ball over in several of the last meetings between these two teams. And Matt Campbell, addresses that and the disparity between mistakes not made by Iowa and mistakes made by his Iowa State team?
Well, I mean, you can take one simple stat, and the stat is the turnover margin, and this will be the fourth year in a row that we lost the turnover margin. You know, and to be honest with you, it was 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and other than the punt tonight, it would have been 1-0 again, and the difference is in the detail, and it was 2-0 tonight. But, you know, those are little things, and that's not to discredit our opponent. We know that they're a detailed football team too, and so that's where I say it kind of comes back to me and my responsibility to continue to do the discipline and detail early in the season to be where we need to be. But, you know, I think you take even that simple statistic over the last 4 years, and that's been a huge game changer in the game, and it's been inches and it's been detail.
Our opponent, still not saying Iowa. I love that. I love this rivalry is in good hands.
Yeah.
As long as Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz are around.
And I know that some people were upset about him sort of celebrating and possibly saying some things towards the sideline. I didn't mind that either. I like
video,
seeing that.
There was video after the trick play. And Deshaunte Jones throwing the touchdown pass, and Matt Campbell appears to be staring across the field at the Iowa bench, and he appears to people who read lips better than I do, saying, those guys think they are really smart, except he throws in an expletive.
It's competition.
It's football. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, I'm fine with it. I thought, you know, Iowa fans are saying, look, they needed to run a gadget play in order to score. And I'm thinking, you know what? You got caught with your pants down. And I'm thinking back to other times, Brett Bielema running the fake punt against Iowa many, many, many years ago. Sometimes you get caught off guard. That's football.
Yeah.
And Iowa State took advantage of a matchup that they felt that they could take advantage of, and they tried to run it again.
Didn't work out
later
so
on
well.
In the game, and, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Iowa was ready for it the second time around, and then now that play goes back into the back of the folder, and maybe it gets brought out against a Big 12 opponent when they really need a spark or something, but I thought it was a great play call. It was executed perfectly the first time, and that was sort of the wake-up call that, oh boy, this is going to be a hell of a game.
Was that the moment where we realized, yeah, they may have been holding some things back against you and I?
I think so. I think that was the moment where everybody realized, hey, they weren't just sitting around playing video games for 2 weeks during the bye. They were getting ready for their arrival. 6:48, we'll take a quick timeout. When we return, we'll let you know what's in store for a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show and what you'll hear tonight if you stick with us on KGYM. Back with more after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. It's gonna be the best day of life. Member FDIC.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
Welcome back to SportsView. Next topic. Is it really all about power?
Makes me think of Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Gives you the power to find options based on your budget. Let's go to Chuck for an irrelevant analogy.
Man, back in the day, people didn't ask how many oranges are in the crate. They just took the oranges. They didn't say, are there 6, 7, 12, 15, whatever. It was just oranges. You get me?
We get you, Chuck. In a word, oranges.
Give it to us straight with the Progressive Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Do you know what brand sells the most work shoes in America? Skechers. Why? Skechers has the best-looking safety-toe and slip-resistant shoes around. They've got superior quality and simply incredible prices, but many people get them just for the style. So you can enjoy tough, steel-toed protection and slip-resistant soles anywhere, even if you don't need them for work. And since they're Skechers, you know they're going to be comfortable with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Find your new pair of Skechers safety-toe and slip-resistant work shoes at a Skechers store, at Skechers.com, or wherever work shoes are sold.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
And 6:52, we welcome you back in. Not a whole lot of time remaining to be with you. Thank you so much for making us a part of your Monday evening. We have for you coming up tonight on 1600 AM, the Cyclone Sideline Show. John Walters will be joined by Matt Campbell at the Applebee's in Ames. I'm sure there will be plenty of discussion of last Saturday's game, but also a lot of looking ahead to a very difficult Louisiana-Monroe matchup. Iowa State, a 19-point favorite this Saturday over ULM. That's coming your way on the AMs on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5. It's a rematch of the first ever Monday night football game, the Cleveland Browns taking on the New York Jets. The Jets are a touchdown underdog against Baker Mayfield and the Dog Pound at the Meadowlands. On tomorrow's program, a little bit different than normal with Iowa having a bye week, you will not hear from Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz. You will hear on Wednesday from Brian Ferentz, Phil Parker, and LeVar Woods. So we will figure out how to fill the void of words with Ferentz tomorrow on the show. Plenty of NFL discussion to come as well, and your texts and phone calls, they are really our lifeblood. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim is happy that we are an outlet for fans, and so am I. I wouldn't exist without you guys. 366-1600, my father and mother had a part in that as well. If you missed anything from the show, podcast is available, KGYMRadio.com.